from the high desert and the great American Southwest. I bid you good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you may be in the world's 24 time zones. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast, Coast to Coast AM. Great to be here. As you know, for the last night or so, I've not been here. Thank you, George Norrie, for filling in. And what happened to me was kind of interesting. Pretty freaky and interesting. As I rolled out of bed, it was like, I've had a few big shocks in my life. As you know, I'm into electronics, and at an early age, I began taking apart my mom's appliances and stuff like that. And so I've had some, you know, working in the years through ham radio, I took 2,500 volts one time at about 500 milliamps. Maybe it was an amp. Anyway, it was a lot, and it knocked me across the room like my jaw opened. Well, when I rolled out of bed the other night, my back said, "Hello, Art." And it sent what felt just like that, like a 10,000-volt shock from the base of my spine, where my troubles reside, radiating throughout my body. And I thought, oh, my God, here we go. And for a while, I couldn't move. And then made it somehow into the next room, sat for a while, and got up, making my way toward the shower. And there was another crack. Crack! You could hear it. It was something you could hear. And it began getting better from that point. So, like a double crack. The first one, though, that was like 2,500 volts, I'll tell you. Anyway, great to be back. Let's look at the news, such as it is. Coming up in the next hour, Sean David Morton. Who have I said, I've said of in the past, more hits than Mafia Don. He really is an incredibly accurate psychic, and we've got a lot of things to, lots of good stuff to talk about tonight. In the meantime, a little bit of stuff for you, pretty interesting stuff too, and then open lines this hour. Despite U.S. calls and international pressure to end the two-week-old campaign to root out militants, Israeli troops invaded yet another town near Nablus, making arrests before leaving. As a matter of fact, they have thus far arrested 4,185 Palestinians. That's a bunch. Now, a day after saying President Bush, quote, wants to see more progress in Israel's withdrawal from Palestinian areas. In fact, they've bounced back and forth on this. It was like at first President Bush had been reported to have said out right away. Then he sort of changed that and said, well, nobody exactly expects them to get out right away. Anyway, Powell, as you know, is on his way to the area right now. Probably not a real good time to go because it ain't over, folks. And they're liable to be fighting in the streets and blowing things up as Powell is there. So I hope he's taking wearing a flak vest and taking a good security compliment with him. Probably not a good time to go. You know, right in the middle of the actual fighting. As top military commanders rebelled against President Chavez, Hugo Chavez, this is down in Venezuela, rebel National Guard troops seized government television, and they always take TV, and took it off the air late today. So they're in the middle of your typical South American overthrow or something or another in Venezuela right now. Probably not a good time. A good friend of mine just went on a cruise, and they scratched Caracas off the schedule, and now I can see why. Police today dismissed a mentally ill woman's claim that that he was molested, was molested 32 years ago by Los Angeles Cardinal Roger Mahoney. So in other words, no physical evidence, and it looks as though they're suggesting it was a bogus claim. So that's a good thing. Too many of these scandals involving priests lately. Long, long time ago, I said, I think, you know, there's so much of this going on, they should review the whole celibacy thing. But, a traditional Catholics, you know, like Father Malachi Martin and others, wouldn't have anything to do with such a suggestion, but boy, there sure are a lot of troubles. Representative James A. Trafficant Jr. today angrily rejected a suggestion he ought to resign. This is after being convicted of taking bribes and kickbacks from businessmen and, in fact, his own staff. The 9-year term Ohio Democrat was found, get this, guilty of all 10 federal charges he faced, including racketeering, bribery, and fraud. The jury also ordered him to forfeit $96,000 in ill-gotten gains. Truffcant faces fines and up to 63 years in prison at sentencing June 27th. Well, gee, why should he resign, huh? I got a note, or I guess a lot of people did, actually, from Gordon Michael Scallion. We're going to be back on the show, but I thought I'd read you a little of what Gordon is saying. The current war in the Middle East has been in my visions once again. I now fear the worst may occur. For those of you new to our work, I'd like to share with you a November 10th prediction on this subject. And by the way, with Sean David Morton, predictions again tonight are going to be big. Quote, we tend to look at current events as causes for war. A dispute over borders, trade restrictions, economic restrictions, power, oil, religion, and of course, world domination. My insights tell me the reason for the current war is because of an accumulation over centuries, if not millennia, of anger, mistrust, violation, and persecution that's been going on throughout the Islamic world. None of this excuses terrorism, but it does show how energy, karma of nations, in this case, can set the stage for negative actions. I have spoken often of the karma of both land and nations. What occurs in any land is that the thoughts and actions of its inhabitants become embedded into the psychic fabric of that land. Isn't that interesting? I believe that he's correct about that. And it certainly fits into the whole non-locality trip that we've been in lately, doesn't it? That what occurs in any land is that the thoughts and actions of its inhabitants become embedded in the psychic fabric of that land. One of the first skills I developed when I began in the field was psychometry, the ability to hold an object and thereby know its owner and history. The vibrations of the person owning the object becomes part of the object. And someone who is sensitive can pick up on those vibrations and tune into the emotions of the owner and events that occurred around this object. In the very same way, people are affected either consciously or unconsciously by the vibrations of the area in which they live. In the case of the Middle East, there have been thousands of years of anger and hatred, all of which have become embedded into the very soil of the region. Generation after generation tunes into this land and absorbs part of this negativity. Most people born into the region have lived here in prior incarnations, so the memory is even stronger. Even before the West had a role in the Middle East, there was tension going on. Back to the time of Moses and the Israelites and later the Crusades, where Europeans attempted to return the holy city of Jerusalem to Christian rule. In Islamic eyes, this was an invasion. Later, we see their countries controlled by Western powers like France and Great Britain. In the late 20th century, we saw the U.S. supplying arms, money, and advisors to the same people we are now fighting. Karma really is an amazing system of cause and effect. Karma knows no time limits. It only seeks balance. It can be instant or take lifetime after lifetime. What I'm suggesting is that the energy behind our current war is about wealth versus poverty, persecution versus freedom, as well as a society that remembers the violations of the past, violations that are embedded in the very landscape of the affected regions. So again, it would seem that though he didn't say it, Gordon Michael is talking about this same non-local universe that everybody else is talking about now. This note, Art, you know, I'm in Germany this week, and guess what? On Tuesday night, the BBC World Service had a 30-minute story on the Cuban Atlantis discovery. You know, the one you've been talking about now for about a year, and the BBC finally has apparently discovered the story. Gist of the story was a Cuban archaeologist of some stature has now joined the team investigating the site that is underwater 60 miles from Cuba and, quote, has confirmed the presence of 40 or more pyramids and other structures obviously built by an advanced civilization over 5,000 years ago. It could be Atlantis. And then there's this. And so that you know the source of this, it's from New Scientist, a very prestigious journal, April 10th. The headline is Anomalies Hint at Magnetic Pole Flip. Listen carefully here. The Earth's magnetic poles may be starting to flip, say researchers who have seen strange anomalies in our planet's magnetic field. The magnetic field is created by the flow of molten iron inside the Earth's core. The circulation, these patterns are affected by the planet's rotation, so the field normally aligns with the Earth's axis, forming the north and south poles. But the way minerals are aligned in ancient rock shows that the planet's magnetic dipole occasionally disappears altogether, leaving a much more complicated field with many poles all over the planet. When the dipole comes back into force, the north and south poles can swap places. The last reversal happened about 780,000 years ago, over a period of several thousand years. Now, the Institute of Earth Sciences in Paris, scientists there and his colleagues think they have spotted early signs of another reversal. They used data from the Orsted satellite, that's O-R-S-T-E-D, to study strange variations in the Earth's magnetic field. In particular, one large patch under South Africa is pointing in the opposite direction from the rest of the Earth's magnetic field and has been growing for hundreds of years. The anomalies have already reduced the overall strength of the planet's magnetic field by about 10%. If they continue to grow at the same rate, the Earth's dipole will disappear within just two millennia. But Orsted is the first satellite to take a snapshot of the Earth's magnetic field for 20 years, and such scant data makes it difficult to predict future shifts. Said the scientist named Hewlett, H-U-L-O-T, we really can't tell what will happen, but we speculate that we're in the usual situation that might be related to a reversal. Again, from the journal reference Nature. So, and it came straight out of New Scientist. So those of you who have been thinking and talking and imagining that the magnetic field of the Earth could reverse and may well be, you see, we've been documenting for some years the rumblings, the beginnings of strange, unusual magnetic drifts. You know, a whole bunch of times on this program, we've had the audience suddenly begin to report 7, 10, 11 degree shifts in the Earth's magnetic north. And those will last for a period of time. It'll drift back, but it's beginning to shift more and more and more. And this story would be the first I've seen in the mainstream press, and certainly a prestigious science journal, that would support what a lot of you out there have been seeing. Congratulations, you're good detectives. Well, I take this New Scientist article on the poles potentially flipping at any time to be pretty serious stuff. I really do. Particularly with respect to all of the interesting... Boy, it has been something. We begin documenting. We have a lot of people who watch True Magnetic very carefully. And when it shifts, we begin getting calls and emails like crazy. I mean, it just pours in. And it lasts for a period of days and then seems to bounce back. But what if one of these days, as the article suggests, the magnetic field simply goes to neutral for a while, which it could do. There, in other words, there would be no magnetic field. It would actually go to zero in the process of reversal. Now, a reversal of the Earth's magnetic field would be interesting enough, but to live through, for example, a period where it would go to zero, that would really be bizarre. And it would be interesting to have a physicist on who could explain to us what that period would be like. What would it be like? I mean, if the Earth's magnetic field just went to neutral for a while in the process of a reversal, which is what they're saying occurs, what would that period in the middle be like? Probably pretty weird, huh? Here's a neat headline for you. It comes from Ananova. UFO sightings almost on a nightly basis right now in the Australian outback. Really? UFO sightings have been made almost nightly in Australia's territory outback during the past month. People claim to have seen colored lights in the sky, cigar-shaped and hat-like objects moving erratically at a speed of triangular-shaped craft. One woman even claimed she was approached by three silvery creatures after a triangle-shaped craft landed in a paddock. Wasn't that interesting? Triangle craft in Australia, and they're seeing these on nearly a nightly basis there right now. There are sightings here all the time. The last month has been almost nightly. About 5 years ago, we had a landing just 10 kilometers west of here every night for 28 days in a row. One guy filmed it, and a TV channel bought the film from him. Mr. Farkas, the spokesperson, says another worker inadvertently photographed a UFO while taking pictures of work at a nearby bridge. When we got the photograph of the bridge girder developed in Darwin, there it was, like a big black ball in the background, he said. Mr. Farkas, the spokesperson, reporting, also said that an Alice Springs woman was driving home last month when she saw a light in a paddock 30 kilometers south of Wycliffe. Well, just off the Stuart Highway, she realized it was not the railway workers or the military and stopped. She told me she saw a triangular-shaped craft, and then three silvery beings came out of it and walked toward her. It was then that she panicked and drove off. Well, right. I don't know if I would have lasted that long. I mean, what would you do? You think about this a little bit. You know, if you were driving along and you stopped because of what you saw, and you saw this triangular craft landing, and then a little door pops open, and three silvery, she describes them as silvery-like little creatures or beings, begin coming down the ramp and headed your way. What would you do? Well, if I was in my car, I'm going to be absolutely honest with you. In all likelihood, I'd gun the hell out of it and get the you-know-what out of there. I mean, I would be gone. I admit that. Would I represent? Well, hi there. I'm Art Bell. I'm this guy who does this show about things like you guys all the time. Welcome. No, that is not what I would do. Believe me, that is not what I'm being honest with you here. I would assume, probably, that they might not know who I am, and that they might have in mind a personal experience for me. And in all the years that I've been doing these programs, I have heard countless personal experiences of direct contact. Not many of them are very good. In most cases, people are probed, prodded, mind-washed, come back believing something entirely different than what they had believed previous to their abduction. So in such case, I would turn tail and I'd be gone. Phew, just like that. Gone. I think a lot of people out there probably suspect, well, you'd go up and say, hey, welcome to the earth and all this sort of stuff. Well, don't kid yourself. I'd be gone in a flash. Anyway, Australia's having nightly visits by these kinds of craft, and I guess creatures?
I've been aware the eagle flies, rode his wings across all the skies, kissed the sun, touched the moon, but he left me much too soon. His lady bird, he left his lady bird.
Lady Bird, come on down, I'm here waiting on the ground. Lady Bird, I'll treat you good, Lady Bird, I wish you would.
Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
Well, all right, everybody. So we're going into the open line business right now. Just one little thing here. Remember the anti-missile missile that we had cooked up called Brilliant Pebbles that would throw a whole bunch of pebbles? And the velocity of the pebbles would kill the incoming missile. Well, now, the U.S. is exploring the idea of nuclear-tipped interceptors again. Otherwise called Big Pebble. No, I'm kidding about that Big Pebble thing. As Secretary of Defense Donald H. Rumsfeld has reopened the door to possible use of nuclear-tipped interceptors, the National Missile Defense System, reviving an idea that U.S. authorities rejected three decades ago as technically problematic and politically unacceptable. Well, I guess it's technically possible now and politically acceptable, because here we go down the road. They have not so named it, but I thought after Brilliant Pebbles, I thought maybe the name for this program ought to be Big Pebble. Open lines coming up. All right, into the night of the land of unknown calls we now plunge. Top of the hour, Sean David Morton. Lots of really, really interesting topics tonight. In fact, I'll sort of headline what we're going to do with Sean just before we get on with Sean. A wildcard line, you are on the air. Welcome.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Hi, your news headlines tonight and something I've been reading in my journalism news group just made me realize how important it is to take an analytical approach to these things rather than a judgmental one, I think.
Well, which, you're referring to generally, you mean to?
Generally UFOs, okay. Karma, et cetera.
Yes.
Rather than a judgmental tone, I think I myself have been did that before. But anyway, I think if we think of the predicament of a spirit interacting with us primitive humans accustomed to trying to attribute goodness or evil to the experiences, sometimes in superficial or materialistic ways, it makes you remember, and something that you can really observe on your interviews, is what better way for a spirit to communicate than through our events and experiences. And
well, I don't know. Gordon Michael's words seem to me to be saying that there's karma for everything, right? There's karma for everything, and it either comes immediately, or it can take several lifetimes to manifest itself, or, you know.
Well, interpreting it is the problem, though. I remember he made that one prediction once about the year of putting it to the test, and I remember, like, there was a famous poltergeist case called The Haunting of Cash and Scap that Harry Price and Horace Lambert wrote.
Right.
And on page 29, there was a curious little fact on this case, which took place on the Isle of Man, and that was that the entity usually called Mr. Irving, Jim, or Potts. And then, of course, in the famous Bell Witch case, on the famous old 1894 book by M.V. Ingram, on page 160, Richard Williams Bell recalled that his brother Jesse's wife had been nicknamed the same name, Potts, by the all-knowing spirit that was manifesting.
Coincidence, or...?
Well, and these again, this is an 18th century case and a 19th century case. The one book was published in Nashville. The other book was published in London. One unfamiliar with the entirety of these cases, they dismiss this as a trivial detail. I don't think you would with all your experience.
Well, to answer your question, I don't dismiss it. And I do try to be, you just can't believe everything, obviously. I try to be pragmatic about things. However, I must say that in recent, let me say the last year, actually, there has been a sort of a conversion going on between that which we talked about on this show as only a possibility or a theory. Well, gee whiz, in the last year, a lot of these possibilities and theories that we have been discussing, and observations made by all of you, are now suddenly being reported very heavily in the mainstream press, in scientific journals, very prestigious scientific journals, in the mainstream press all over the place. In fact, so much so that it sort of freaks me out a little bit to have been that far ahead of the curve. And I'm not crediting myself with that at all. I'm crediting all of you and the kind of people that we interview. We're so far ahead of the curve that, in fact, it's about a year or better ahead of the curve, sometimes better. But the old batting average here, in view of recent scientific discovery, I'd say is pretty good. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
All right.
Yes, that would be me.
Yes, sir. Welcome back.
Thank you. Where are you?
Up here in the Northeast, up on the Hudson River, Troy, New York.
Okay.
Yeah, that's WGYA-10. I told you I wanted to talk about the flip-flop here, the polarities.
You mean the pole?
Yeah.
Boy, that's some story, that story.
Yeah,
huh?
This is serious. It's out of our hands. Not much we can do but observe.
Well, I know, but still, you know, maybe you could tell me. Maybe you know enough about pole reversal to tell me, but during the time, this middle period when it would go to neutral, mm-hmm. what would things be like?
Maybe all the nutcases would fall off. The world stopped spinning.
Uh-huh. Come on now.
So I don't know. I'll be honest. I mean, the best minds couldn't calculate it.
Yeah, I wonder how the world would change. You wouldn't have any magnetic north. In fact, you would just be gone.
The animals were going crazy.
Yeah,
the migratory animals.
Yeah, what
crazy.
Would it do to them? They wouldn't know which way to fly.
Well, they wouldn't know which way is up. The thing is, I wanted to correlate this as I was thinking.
Well,
there.
One more thing, sir. We have magnetite too within our brains, right? So, no telling how it would affect human beings as well.
More squirrely, perhaps.
Yeah. What a planet that would be, considering.
How about this, Art? This polar melting that they're reporting and the size of the icebergs breaking off.
Yeah, big is.
Could this be the core fluctuating and activating underwater volcanic action and bringing heat to the...
Yeah, sure could.
And that's why it's appearing to be global warming that is melting the polar caps. Now...
Well, bear in mind the big report on the polar caps on Mars melting.
Yep.
Right? So that would suggest an even more external influence. I'm not saying that's the case. We could have things going on inside the planets, on both planets, but looks like an external influence to me.
This is just a hunch. Now, quickly, I just wanted to broach this. I'm following the Middle East as the whole world is.
Yep.
This could be heading eventually to the tripwire for the entrance to the Antichrist. Because what would the world give after they've wrung their hands and they're sweating bullets and they've spent all their money and they've done all they can politically? What would they give or give up collectively to bring peace?
Peace.
What will they? Now, I wish Martin was here.
Father Malachi Martin.
I miss that man so dearly.
I do too.
And I'm sure he had a finger on the pulse, and I guess we can only continue on and believe what is going to transpire is going to transpire.
Well, I think we're going to get to see it in our lifetime
soon. Oh, yeah, soon, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not fearful of it, Art.
No, I'm not even.
But,
you know, what will come will come, and you and I are not going to change that, whether it's the magnetic poles flipping or whether it's, World War III that breaks out in the Middle East. Nothing we're going to do about it. Probably. Now, having said that, I withdraw what I just said. Maybe there is something we can do about it. Now, I do not read this as my having made any decision. Do you hear me? I repeat this. Do not read this as my having made any decision with respect to some giant mental exercise like we did with the doctor the other night and his daughter Elizabeth. And have done in the past. The other night was shocking, wasn't it? In a way, it was shocking that the result was so fast. You know, we had a guest on whose daughter is very ill and in the hospital with a brain tumor. And we sent this blast of energy, and within 30 minutes, two people in the hospital room said, "My God, the light that showed up. And they wouldn't elaborate beyond that, but that's what they said. On totally all unsolicited. In fact, you should be well aware that my guest was unaware that I, until just prior to showtime, from a friend, knew that his daughter was even ill. So he didn't know any of that was coming, or none of that was set up, or any of the rest of it. He didn't know, and I didn't know until about 10 minutes before the show, because I got a call from a friend. So that was an amazing demonstration, in a way a shock, because it worked yet again, but in a way, not a shock. Now, when you look at world events, under what circumstance would I unleash all of your minds on doing something about world peace or the Middle East? Well, the answer to that question is probably if I saw it really, truly spiraling out of control. Then I suppose if you appear to be inevitably headed toward a world war, then trying something of that magnitude becomes absolutely justified. I'm not sure we're at that place yet. And do not read into this that I have made any decision to do that, because I have not. But those circumstances would certainly push me into thinking about its use in that area. Leery as I am of it. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
My name is Lisa. I'm in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Hello, Lisa.
I called to talk to you about your remark about how sometimes you wish that the priests in the Catholic Church did not have to be celibate.
Yeah, I'm thinking that, and of course the Church itself has internally from time to time debated this and always knocked it down.
Uh-huh.
But...
Right.
I don't know.
Well, my opinion with all these molestations with the Catholic priests,
yeah,
I don't think it has anything to do with them being celibate.
Well, I'm not, yeah, but how do you know that celibacy, which is, the way the human, priests are men, too. All right?
Oh,
priests
definitely.
Priests are men, too. And the drives on all of the rest of that, I don't think it really changes. Some are successfully able to suppress it and live the life that they avowed, and in some others...
Right. But Art, I don't think the problem is celibacy.
I think the problem is
pedophilia.
Well, yeah, but are you sure? Are you sure that wait a minute now, that a deprivation of a sexual anything at all doesn't bring on, as well as those who will go out and seek a heterosexual relationship, other odd things. I mean, celibacy is so unusual that you just can't rule it out.
Oh.
As one cause or part of it.
Well, a lot of people choose a celibate life.
Well, yeah, I know, but...
And that doesn't make them molesters.
People, I know, that's people choosing a celibate life, but having a
but
celibate
that's what
life...
that's what the priests have done.
Well...
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think you're
maybe a lot... Maybe a lot of priests have agreed to a celibate life, because they really are, I'm sure, the honest, God-fearing, devoted to Christ men that they say they are, but they're still men. And so maybe they're sort of agreeing to the celibacy to get to their biggest goal, but they're not really internally, as much as you might imagine, agreeing to it, and I think that causes problems.
Well, it could add to the problem, but I think the problem is the pedophilia.
Well, no question about it. Of course the problem is pedophilia. But I consider that to be a manifestation or a symptom and give more weight to the celibacy requirement in this regard than apparently you do, which is fine. I don't know if we'll ever know for sure. I mean, there's no question about the fact that the end symptom, when it manifests itself as pedophilia, is really awful, right? I just think that enforced celibacy or enforced it's kind of like in the Air Force. When you're in the Air Force, a lot of times you get volunteered for things. And it's not quite exactly like that, but you did hold up your hand, right? And from that point on, they pretty well control your life. And if they want you to volunteer, you pretty much volunteer. That's the way it works. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
About 22 years ago, I had an experience that began with a dream.
Oh.
And in this dream, the Earth was going off of its axis, and there was the tragedies were happening, and I was feeling the pain.
Can you remember in the dream what did happen?
Well, I don't remember that as clearly. I remember there were floods. I remember a mother being separated from a child. I remember the grass burning and feeling the burning myself as if I was the grass. And I said, we have to do something to stop this. It was the most urgent thing. And then in the dream, I found myself on top of the earth, like the earth was a ball, and I was on top of it. And someone said, here's an axis. Hold this axis and keep the earth steady. And the earth was much stronger than me, and I was holding it with all my heart.
Well, they were laying a pretty heavy responsibility on you there.
I was holding it. I was trying, and the earth was convulsing and gyrating, and I woke up. Now, this is where it gets interesting. When I woke up, there was a light that was shining on my forehead. And when I woke up, I knew it wasn't the moonlight because the light had the same intensity as the dream.
So in other words, the dream morphed into reality.
Yes.
Well, then maybe you have been chosen to hold the earth on its axis. So all I can ask is, would you please, stay in top shape, work out for us all.
No. Let me tell you this, Art. So I walked to the window.
Yes.
And there, what I saw was it was about the size of the moon.
Yes.
It was pale, white, yellow. And this is what I wondered if any viewers, I hadn't heard anyone say this.
I only have listeners.
Listeners. And this was pulsating. It was a pulsating light. And I looked in through all the back windows of my house, and it was there. It kept pulsating.
Yes.
And
then what finally happened to it?
Well, what finally happened to me was, I got so freaked out, I went to the hall in my house, which is the only room that doesn't have a window, and I stayed there the whole night.
In the hall?
Yes.
I go back to what I said. Then you apparently have been chosen and may have to end up holding the world on its axis. So I want you to...
No, it has nothing to do with that. But no, this really
How do
happened.
You know it doesn't?
But you know, this really happened.
Yeah, I'm really giving you honest advice here, too. Uh-huh. It really happened. So I'm giving you honest advice. My honest advice is that if it does have the kind of meaning you imagine, then you may be put in that position. And if you are, we all want you on top of your game. Work out. Reach mental higher mental levels of state of level, whatever it is I want to say here. Be sharp. Be ready. We need you. Maybe. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
This is John in Kansas City.
Yes, John.
Actually, I'm in San Luis. I just moved here.
I can barely hear you. You're kind of on a cell phone kind of connection, right?
It's crappy.
Yeah. Damn cell phones.
You were on during the Gulf War, right?
All the way through it, yes.
But didn't we try to bust Saddam Hussein's
No. I know what you're asking. To break a vein in his head?
Yeah.
No, we did not, sir. We discussed the possibility, and everybody said it would be wrong. So we didn't do it. That's the way that worked out. There was a suggestion during that war that he's such a bad guy that why don't we all concentrate on, you know, just one little vein going, and that would be it, right? But it was decided against. East of the Rockies, you don't have a lot of time, but you're on the air. Hello.
Well, President, good evening from Oklahoma.
Yes, sir.
I'll be real quick. A few years ago, you had Richard Hoagland on, and...
he'll be on next week, by the way.
Did a couple of shows on an experiment that somebody in Australia, I believe it was De Palma, was doing with a spinning disc.
Yes.
Are you aware that
yes.
NASA is going to try to repeat this experiment?
Yes.
Okay. I'm curious. Another thing real quick. All the bumper music I've heard you play, and I know you've played some from Creedence. How come you've never played It Came Out of the Sky?
Oh, I don't know. I don't.
It's the genre of your show.
Yeah, I know, but you see, people assume... Okay, listen. People assume... Then I play bumper music because it has some reference, you know, like something in the sky or something like that. Answer is, not really, not always, even not usually. Of course, then there was the Purple People Eater, right? There were some others, too. But, you see, I don't pick them for that reason. I pick them because I like them. That means they got to have a tune. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM. Military weather control, the Indiana Hum, Planet X, Earth Changes, Underground Cities, Human Experiments by the Grays at New Mexico military bases, Lizard People under the Denver airport, Green Children, Robot Cats. What on earth am I talking about? Of course, it's the one and only After Dark newsletter. Would you believe everything I just mentioned is packed into one single issue? Read all about it and more. You can believe that in the April issue of After Dark. Subscribe right now by calling toll-free 1-888-727-5505. For just $39.95, you get two free issues, 14 for the price of 12. The number to subscribe is 1-888-727-5505 or log on to artbell.com. Hit the library link to the secure server to order. Call now 1-888-727-5505.
Our hearts are broken and our souls pray for America today, for the people who lost their lives, for those who lost their loved ones, and for those who lost their sense of safety in this unprecedented tragedy. America is being rebuilt one day at a time. The Salvation Army is very grateful for your strong support. Call 1-800-SAL-ARMY to find out how you can help make a difference when our country needs it most. God bless America.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Who is this?
Who do you think it might be?
I don't know.
Let's try it differently. So let's try a different approach. Who are you trying to reach?
Art Bell.
That's me.
No, it's not.
Well. So you think I'm just kidding you?
Yeah.
Darn, I try and tell people I'm Art Bell all the time. You know, and sometimes they believe me and sometimes they don't. It looks like you caught me.
USA Radio Network News, I'm Jason Walker. A military coup in Venezuela. The National Guard general says that President Hugo Chavez's government has been overthrown. At least 13 people have died in violent street demonstrations, more than 100 others injured. 500,000 protesters taking to the streets Thursday. Reports indicate Chavez's inability to rein in that country's growing poverty, making him increasingly unpopular. White House denying reports that President Bush is frustrated with the slow pace of Israel's withdrawal from Palestinian areas. Judith Smelzer has more.
Last week, President Bush called on Israel to withdraw from Palestinian towns and refugee camps immediately. But White House spokesman Ari Fleischer has hinted that immediate might have been too strong a word.
When the president said what he said in the Rose Garden, he did not expect all three parties that night to salute and say yes. That's not how the Mideast works.
Israel has withdrawn its troops from some towns, but it's also deployed new forces in other areas. Mr. Fleischer said the Palestinians and Arab nations in the region have also not heeded the president's request to denounce terrorism and cut off support for militant groups. Judith Smelzer, Washington.
Secretary of State Colin Powell holding talks at this hour with Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon in Jerusalem. Saturday, Powell slated to meet with Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat. This is USA Radio News.
If you're going bald, you probably think it was because your father was bald. Well, guess what? A recent medical discovery showed that 95% of all hair loss is due to the body's overproduction of DHT. But now there's great news for men and women. Introducing Hair Advantage, the world's only dual-action hair regrowth system that stops DHT naturally. The result is permanent dense hair regrowth. Hair Advantage contains a patented active ingredient called lanolin that was approved by the FDA for hair regrowth. In clinical studies, the majority of people regrew their hair, with an incredible 66% experiencing dense hair regrowth. Hair Advantage will reverse baldness, fill in embarrassing bald spots, and regrow up to a full head of new, dense hair. Guaranteed. Call now to order your risk-free trial. It's safe and natural.
Call toll-free 1-800-862-1814. That's 800-862-1814. Call now. 800-862-1814.
A new poll revealing how much of an impact the sex abuse scandal is taking on the Catholic Church. That story from Lisa Romanello.
One out of seven Catholics surveyed nationwide say their faith has been shaken enough to consider leaving the church. Poll director Mickey Carroll says most of that doubt is directed at the hierarchy.
10% say that their faith has been shaken in the priest they know best, the priest in their parish. 32% say that their faith in bishops and cardinals has been shaken.
77%, including 70% of Catholics, want bishops who reassigned accused priests to step down, and nearly half blame the abuse problem, at least in part, on celibacy. Lisa Romanello, New York.
NAACP joining a race discrimination class action suit against the Cracker Barrel restaurant chain. Suit alleges the restaurant engaged in a pattern of discrimination against black patrons in more than 200 cities. But a spokesman for Cracker Barrel is sharply denying the claim. This is USA Radio News.
Millions of Americans who do their taxes on their computers will be getting more rest this tax season thanks to IRS e-file. Instead of printing out their tax returns and running out to the mailbox in the middle of the night, they'll file their taxes electronically. It's accurate, secure, and you get your refund in half the time. You can even sign electronically. So this tax season, delete the paperwork and hit send with IRS e-file. For details, visit irs.gov. Now, get some sleep.
Ohio Congressman James Traficant has been convicted of bribery and corruption. He faces up to 63 years in prison. A shark expert sustaining a serious injury after being bitten by a 350-pound bull shark during the filming of a Discovery Channel program off the coast of the Bahamas. Shark Research Institute Executive Director Marie Levine says that Dr. Eric Ritter was bitten in the calf.
One of the remoras that had been attached to a shark, they swim and ride on sharks, darted away from the group of sharks and swam either between or right behind Eric's legs. And a bull shark followed the remora and just slammed into Eric's leg.
Gasoline prices still going up. National average for a gallon of regular rising another 4 cents this week. Nationwide now, the average, $1.41 a gallon. Jason Walker with news on the USA Radio Network.
Call right now to reserve your copy of the April issue of the one and only After Dark newsletter. Don't miss out on important information about Planet X. Could it be the harbinger of massive Earth changes in 2003? Is the Earth hollow? Why did Admiral Byrd call for military backup at the North Pole? What is going on beneath the new Denver airport? It's all in the April issue of After Dark. Call now, 1-888-727-5505, and you'll get 14 issues for the price of 12. That's two free, free. The number again, 1-888-727-5505, or subscribe online at artbell.com. Just hit the yellow library link on the left menu. The Secura server, where you can order the one and only After Dark newsletter. Call right now, toll free, 1-888-727-5505.
And after it rains, there's a rainbow, and all of the colors are black. It's not that the colors aren't there, it's just imagination. They lack, everything's the same back in my little town. I know that. We'll be right back.
Richard Bell in the Kingdom of Nye. From west of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may Richard at 1-775-727-1222. Or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To Richard on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
That's it, all right, prompt about it. Dead of night, my little town. But it's not going to be so quiet, not for a few hours here in Pahrump. Coming up, one of the nation's almost dead-on, I like to say, more hits than Mafia Don psychic Sean David Morton. He didn't like intuitive, I think. They all prefer the word intuitive. They like to be called psychics. And we'll ask about that. Lots and lots of things to ask Sean about tonight. In fact, I'll sort of cover as a preview exactly what we're going to talk about tonight and more. All coming up if you'll just stay right where you are. It's going to be really interesting. Since studying at the British International School in Cairo, Egypt, then Stanford, and graduating from USC with majors in political science and fine arts, Sean David Morton has been an investigative journalist, a writer, director, producer for TV and films, and a renowned futurist. Oh, not intuitive. Oh, well, it says intuitive. Futurist, intuitive, and earth-sensitive, with many of his stunning and startling predictions made on this program. Since he first appeared with me 10 years ago, back in 1991, oh my God, time flies, Sean was instrumental in bringing Area 51 to international attention. He's been on Strange Universe, investigations for Strange Universe. He did a lot on the Chupacabra, UFO contact, Adrian, oh yes, Adrian. Consulted for sightings, now can be told, hard copy, Unsolved Mysteries. While at Hard Copy, he produced the first national news segments on the Phoenix Lights and the conspiracy theories behind the death of Lady Diana Spencer. He also wrote the first national articles on the cover-ups behind the deaths of Diana and JFK Jr. Sean had the honor of studying with the Dalai Lama in India, lived as a monk in Nepal, where he studied with the Black Hat Buddhist sect. It was there he learned meditative techniques that enhanced his own abilities, allowed him to get in tune with the earth, induce visions, read maps to predict geologic events, taught him to travel the time stream. While in college, he also trained in remote viewing and currently is teaching his spirit remote viewing techniques in seminars about the country. His track record, of course, has been startling. And don't forget, he's got the Delphi Associates newsletter, which will give you in regular, sustained detail his predictions if you find Sean intriguing. Now, tonight, I thought actually I would read you what he suggested we cover, and so you have some idea of what's coming. Operation Foresight, through a contact in New York, he says, I've been put in touch with a project in the Pentagon called Operation Foresight. They're using intuitives and remote viewers to track terrorists and future attacks on America. We must talk about this, he says. It relates to coming attacks and what they have found in the location of Osama bin Laden. This also includes, he says, information on a Red Mercury bomb to be used on Washington, D.C., which I predicted in 94, 2 years before it was even invented. Oh, my. This will take us back to a prediction made on your show in August of 98 about the needles of Shiva will be unleashed. The dogs of war have been unchained now as the beginning of the end. He says I have to be very careful in what I say because I don't want to blow it with these people, but I can relate to information that's been told to me that's been declassified but has not been reported by the U.S. press. And then he goes into a number of predictions, a horrible event on the East Coast, a prediction about the Pope, and, of course, the economy. You never can have this man on your show without talking about the economy, and oh man, do we have to talk about it? In fact, you know what? I should start him backwards because the stock market has really been in the crapper. We're down, I forget what the NASDAQ close was, I've got it here somewhere, 1600s, isn't it? somebody tell me on Fast Blast, it's somewhere in the high 1600s, but the stock market's really in the crapper. So here is Sean David Morton. Sean, welcome back. Hey, how you doing?
Thank you. Welcome back to you, too. Yeah. I'm just glad you're okay and back on the radio.
Well, this was only a two-day affair. Thank whoever it is. I guess I thank God. He's the one who gave me this back, right?
Yeah.
But nevertheless, thank
well,
you.
Well, I've been having, I was in Florida at the New Life Expo down in Fort Lauderdale this last weekend, and I had...
That's a little like thanking a cop for a ticket, but thank you, God, anyway, only 2 days.
I had the same problems going on. Well, not as severe as yours, but I had the same problems going on with my lower back. I mean, so much so after about a day or so, I could barely stand up. And it's it is of interest because in my belief system and structure, we believe that there are six main chakra points to the planet, mm-hmm. that you've got Lhasa Tibet is the base root chakra, and that the area around Cairo, also including Israel in the Middle East, is the second chakra, which represents the base or the lower part of the back. And so when...
The lower part of the back represents the Middle East?
Yep.
Really?
The second chakra is actually Cairo, Egypt, because it sits, the pyramid itself actually sits dead center.
Well, I feel like somebody dropped me on the pyramid.
Well, it's
the top of the pyramid.
That sits dead center of all the landmass on the planet. That's why it's also, you know, Zeta Orionis, which is the belt of Orion as well. So that whole area relates to the sacrum, the lower part of the back.
Mm.
And then, well, it goes on to the third chakra is supposed to be Stonehenge, England. The fourth chakra the heart chakra is Machu Picchu. The throat chakra of the world is Los Angeles, California, actually.
Well, I rolled out of bed and got a hell of a chakra, believe me. And anyway, listen, what is Operation Foresight?
Okay, I was in New York City at the New Life Expo, and I had a chance, I went early by a couple of days to see some friends there. And a friend of mine who's a very famous intuitive and healer, as a matter of fact, there's two people that sort of play into this. One is a very famous Russian healer, and the other one comes from Texas. They've asked specifically that I don't use their names in regard to this because of certain classified things that are going on. So,
why are you all not happy about being called psychics?
Well, I don't know. I think it's just gotten a bad rap, I think, just because of, you know, I mean, Miss Cleo and you know, the dial-a-line psychics and
yeah,
all that.
Oh, yeah, I see.
And it's actually not exactly what we're doing. I mean, we're tapping more into an intuitive field. We're tapping more into a body of information. I guess psychic's okay. It just seems to have gotten a bad rap over the last.
Actually, I like Miss Cleo's ads. They're really entertaining.
Yeah, she's funny. I mean, she's a good actress, which is exactly what she's supposed to be doing.
Yeah, she is really good. Anyway, so you can't give us the names. I understand.
So on March 21st, I'm having dinner with this lady who then says, "Look, I am in touch with a group of individuals at the Pentagon, and as a matter of fact, she had a special coded number that she actually called. They went through a couple of people, a couple of lieutenant colonels, and we actually wound up speaking to a lady colonel at the Pentagon, and talking specifically about some certain things that were going on. And my question for them was, and she said, "Well, look, the reason I'm talking to you is because they've been apparently." How does she put it? Monitoring your progress, I guess it is, through this program and through a number of newsletters that they'd read. And
yeah, well, you're high profile, you know, very high profile. So if the government's going to listen to anybody, yeah, sure, why not you? I would imagine that would be true. That's very interesting.
This was one of the things that, in my opinion, to get in touch with it, well, I'll get there, but so... She puts me on the phone with her, and I had a couple of very specific questions for her. My first question is that back in 1994, I did, I guess what you would call, instead of a past life regression, I guess it's a post-life progression. It was a technique that I learned when I was in Nepal. It was called a soul transference, and I went to approximately 100 years from now. This was back in, as I said, 94, and I went to somewhere around the year 2096 or so.
Really?
To look back on human history, and then and actually did this in front of a group of about 700 people at the Learning Light Foundation in Anaheim.
Slow down a second and tell me, I mean that's really, really interesting to have gone that far into the future. In what manner did you manifest in the future? Were you just able to see it, experience it as a person walking?
I woke up in my direct experience was physically becoming conscious in someone else's physical body.
Wow.
And this person, apparently I could do this because this person is actually my grandson, I guess, or
really? You haven't told me any of this before.
Well, I've actually put it in the newsletters, and okay. I don't go into details about it because it's a very intense kind of story.
All right, so anyway, you were in the year 2094?
Well, yes.
All right,
I didn't learn that much there because all I did was this was in the middle of a place called New Omaha, Nebraska, and all I did was like run around this guy's house, kind of scaring everybody to death.
New Omaha, Nebraska?
Yeah, the whole area of the United States. It's actually called New Omaha, Nebraska, that sits in the center of an area in the U.S. that formerly was made up of Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma. There's a whole central section of the United States that's actually called New Jerusalem at that time that shows that the U.S. is then divided. It's actually not just the U.S. It's actually called the North American Union. And it's 13 nation states, of which Mexico.
Wait a minute. Is this some sort of post-war world or post-catastrophic world?
Yes.
In other words, what happened?
Well, this is what he came back here because he was here, and there was a group of people that had questions on cards that were asking him questions here. And we just reprinted this in the Vajra Chronicles because his name in the future is actually, his name is Vajra. And we reprinted this transference, if you will, the transcript of it from 1994, from August of 94.
What happened to the world, John?
That there's a series of, that what he predicted in 94 was that directly at the year 2000, he said directly at the turning and then directly after the turning of the Great Age,
right,
that there would be a terrorist attack first on New York City, that this would be the beginning of a global conflict against what he called the Islamic Jihad. This is 94, mind you.
Right.
Against the Islamic Jihad that would begin approximately just at the turn of the century or directly after the turn of the century.
Okay.
That this would then lead to this confederation of Islamic states, and that these Islamic states would eventually be led by a ruler who comes out of Iran, who would actually be named Jamal. That's all he would say. Is that it was? He said it was kind of a sick joke in the future because the Jamal actually means the beautiful one in Arabic. Uh-huh. That there was a period of 7 years of conflict from 2000. He said from about 2000 up through about 2007.
Would this be what other people would call the Antichrist?
It's what he called him. Yeah, he said it was
okay.
That this was the Antichrist figure. I mean, it kind of gets worse from there. He talks about that the. He then said that there would be an attack, chemical attacks, on Washington, D.C., right around the year 2000, 2001, and then said that in 2000, and this was very difficult because he was also saying that that much of the history that we have, that he has in the future from 100 years from now, he says you have to apologize because most of the history that we had was lost, and so much of the databases, apparently books and libraries, were placed on... were placed into placed into computers, and that there was a short circuiting, if you will, of the Earth's magnetic field, once again, around between about 2012 and about 2014.
Oh, gee whiz.
Are you
monitoring the current news that I just read in the
first...
I
heard you in the first hour.
Oh,
we
did you now? The magnetic flip. This New Scientist article is really freaky.
I remember exactly what we said when we were talking the day after Christmas on the 26th. We talked about Project Nanook. Remember we talked about Project Nanook, the military project?
Yes.
That was mapping the North Pole.
Yes.
And the biggest thing that they found was that there wasn't just one North Magnetic Pole, that there were actually three, and that they were in a state of flux.
Well, I have another modern article that says the magnetic pole is moving so quickly now that they expect it will shortly be in Russia. Something really is going on. Now, maybe we're in the middle of a flip. Do you have any idea, Sean? There would be, I was talking about this in the first hour, there would be a period when the magnetic pole went to zero, when the dipole disappears. I'd like to know what it would probably be like during that period when we had no magnetic field at all, And then what it would be like when the flip occurred.
Well, this is exactly as when they finished their research on Nanook, and this was primarily to open up the poles to travel, actually to air travel, actually over the poles.
Oh, yes.
And it was considered one of the greatest accomplishments of the U.S. military of the latter half of the 20th century.
Yes.
And when they did this, there was a book on this that was actually written called World in Peril by a guy named Ken White that actually published the findings of Project Nanook, the 37th Aero Squadron. It was an old B-38. It was a B-38, the kind of, the one that dropped the bomb on Hiroshima. It was the Enola Gay. It was the
Enola
only
Gay.
One surviving. I think it's a B-38, but I may be wrong. But it was the only other surviving one of these particular planes that did the Arctic expeditions. They then said that as magnetic north approached true north, that the biggest danger would be that it would get rapidly, it would actually approach true north much more quickly. In other words, it was only traveling at that time about 5-10 miles per year, but that it would travel at 20 miles and 30 miles, and according to all their projects, they said that there would then be some kind of radical electromagnetic problem with the Earth poles coming up in approximately 2012 to 2014. Now, this is in like the mid to late 60s. It's about 67 or so. Also predicting that you would then have a series of massive hurricanes, wind phenomenon, weather changes, winter and spring and fall would become shorter and shorter, and then bringing along with it this what they assumed was a polar flip. And this is when they gave their information to the RAND Corporation in Santa Monica, and RAND did a whole series of tests where they built a gigantic replica of the planet, complete with the magnetic poles and the magma and the whole nine yards. And they then did the same type of experiment where, okay, projecting forward with Project Nanook, let's see what happens when true north and magnetic north then strike. And what happens is that then you have a, it was a B-29 bomber. I just remember, not a B-38, B-29.
Yeah, no, B-29.
That what happened is that the dipoles of the Earth would then basically go down to zero.
Yeah.
That then you would then see the electromagnetic poles would then begin to slowly wobble in a much larger circle, and that they would then, at one point, stop approximately at the equator. So they were actually talking about the North Pole then suddenly becoming a location in Africa. They were saying that the North Pole would actually then rotate.
Well, they now have an anomaly going on in Africa where there's been, in one area, a complete reversal. Damnedest thing.
Well, I heard that in the first hour.
I was freaking out.
I was saying, oh, my goodness, this is exactly what they were saying in this. And that then the poles themselves would then shift, and that what this would do... they had a series of theories about this, and the military was saying, well, we need to keep a big lid on this. This is going to freak everybody out, because in 60% of the experiments they ran out of, I'm not exactly sure how many times they actually did it, but in 60% of the experiments, the planet itself actually flipped over with the magnetic poles, with the
physically tipped on its axis?
Tipped on its side, yeah. And
there are all these
it's a big secret, and then
Sean, there are all these references to man seeing the sun move in a different direction in the sky. You're familiar with those, I presume.
Right, of course.
That's what would occur, of course, during an axis shift. Hold on, Sean, we're at the bottom of the hour, plenty of time to go. That is exactly what would occur, and it would be a very strange time for mankind. Gee, maybe we'll get to see this, folks. What do you think?
Oh,
Call Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
Certainly is. Sean David Morton is here. He is one of our nation's leading intuitives. And we're talking about this whole pole shift thing because we've got this story tonight from the New Scientist. It's really wild. Headline, anomalies hint at magnetic pole flip. I'll try and get it up on the website. But it's on the New Scientist, and it's really interesting. I'm really interested in the period of time when we'd be at zero before it flipped. You know, the flip is going to bring on many changes, right? But so will the period of time when there's no magnetic field at all. That's going to leave us wide open to all kinds of interesting things. What a lifetime we're having. Be right back. And so, back now to Sean David Morton, and again, I'm intensely curious if you have any information at all for me. I know a pole flip would really bring on many changes, as
well, here's what I'm doing, actually. I'll do it just during the next break. I just dug out the book, World in Peril, with the entire report from Project Nanook on the polar shift and the entire polar shift, the origin, mission, and scientific findings of the 46th and 72nd Reconnaissance Squadron. And what I'm doing is that there's a whole page in here that says the mechanics of a polar flip. The magnetic pole flips to some point near the equator as the electromagnetic field rotates approximately 90 degrees. It would actually put the new magnetic South Pole at approximately somewhere near Nigeria, actually, between Nigeria, Chad, Central Africa, and Sudan, with the North Pole being at some point in the middle of the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
Todd, do you know that all of our satellite TV is just going to go...
Well, that would also include, if you really think about it, because the human brain is nothing more than a very, very complicated DNA-driven computer hard drive that, of course, runs on magnetites in the human brain.
I mentioned that to a
caller.
Could yeah.
quite conceivably completely reset the magnetites of the human brain. We'd all be having a very blonde Southern California day.
You mean like hitting a reset button on a computer?
Exactly.
The human brain, cool.
Yeah.
Well, then satellite TV wouldn't matter, would it? Oh, man. So it would go to the equator or roughly or near it.
Yes.
Okay.
And this is what it does. What I'm saying is that during the next break, I'll scan it in. I don't know if you want me to send it to you or if you want me to send it to Keith Rowland or not to put on the website, but because I also sent
Well,
you
send
some,
it to Keith so everybody can see it. Okay. Now, Keith is in Northern California at the moment, but he always has access to a computer.
All
so
right. Is it just Keith?
Send it to webmaster@artbell.com.
Okay, webmaster@artbell. Okay, you'll have it by the next break.
Okay,
hopefully
cool.
You'll be able to just put it up there and you'll be able to see the... you know, because this book goes back a ways, and in essence, what it was saying is that when the book was actually printed, the North Pole specifically was in the Canadian Basin, and electromagnetic north was, the report is actually from the 60s. The book was published in 92. As of 1992, the electromagnetic pole was at Borden, between Borden and Meegan, Canada, near Cape Stallworth.
That's right.
And that there were only... at that time, there's only about, about 688 miles. Oh, here we go. Today,
it's going to move into Alaska pretty quickly.
Yeah, only 688 miles separate the two poles until further research is conducted exactly when the break and rapid acceleration of the magnetic pole towards the geographic pole will occur is unknown. So, of interest, Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change. And though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. Psalm 46, so that's just something else I came up with for you here. So,
All right. Back to Operation Foresight.
Right.
This is serious stuff.
Okay, so here we are. So I'm having dinner with a friend of mine who was a very famous intuitive and healer in New York City. And she puts me on the phone with this colonel that she'd been working with at the Pentagon, just for to make up a name. We'll just call her Colonel Pam as an idea.
Okay.
This is, by the way, going through a couple of lieutenant colonels that we were sort of laughing and joking with, going, all you guys are a bunch of spooks, and you're
you know,
all crazy.
I ought to tell you, Sean, I had a very famous remote viewer on the other night, and I asked him directly whether the government in the current circumstance has been in touch with remote viewers, and the answer basically was a yes.
Well, absolutely. Well, I'm telling you because it's happened over the last 2 weeks.
Okay.
And then I watched what I saw and the coordinate that they gave me. I then saw them taking action on the news last Thursday. It was Tuesday I saw this. I was watching Fox News. So let me just tell you the story here. So what happens is I get on the phone with her, and I say, look, I need to know about Red Mercury. What is it? What does it do? Because in 1994, when I took the trip to 100 years from now, and he came back here, and I switched places, if you will. Right. All I learned when I was there was he had a very interesting-looking computer system. He had a farm in New Omaha. I ran around and scared a bunch of people because it was the middle of the night. I really didn't learn much other than they had some very interesting structures on the farm. The houses were laid out in a very interesting way. There was water that ran through the houses. Back here, he said specifically that that Washington, D.C. would be evacuated, that it would be attacked with a red mercury device. And what? He says that the Islamic Jihad is behind it, but they could never, even in the future, they could never figure out who exactly it was.
Wait a minute. What is a red mercury bomb?
All right, this is what I found out. Now, this was 94 when he was talking about this in this transference. In 96, and as I understand it, they didn't even invent this until about 95, 96. I could be wrong on this. But
what it is, it's
a radioactive isotope that comes out of South Africa. And what this stuff does is it's sort of, this isotope can be used to actually amp up the radioactivity and kill power, if you will, of a rather crude briefcase-style nuclear device.
An actual nuclear device or just a dirty bomb?
A nuclear device,
like a
suitcase bomb.
Okay.
So my question to her was saying, look, back in 94, I saw an attack on Washington, D.C. using specifically a red mercury device that nobody could really figure out how it worked. She said, quote, it's interesting that you would say that because we had a briefing. This is Thursday night now I'm talking to her. She said, we had a briefing on Tuesday specifically regarding red mercury, and we have another briefing tomorrow, first thing in the morning, Friday.
Wow.
And I said, well, what's the deal? And she said, well, Al-Qaeda has gotten their hands, and this was on the news tonight, Art, tonight. She said, Al-Qaeda has gotten their hands on a red mercury shipment. However, the Russians have been selling this stuff on the world market, smuggling it out of South Africa, and we don't know if the Al-Qaeda got a hold of, like, a bogus shipment or whether or not this is the real stuff. Now, of course, tonight on Fox News, there was an expert on, David Spence, I think it was, on Fox talking to Greta Van Susteren, specifically talking about how they found in Kabul, and they were talking about red mercury tonight on the news, saying that they found what quite conceivably might be shared nuclear technology with Pakistan.
Really?
Now, when I asked her this specifically, she said, well, when did you predict this? And I said, 94.
Uh-huh.
And she said, oh, you know, nobody really knows about this, and it's, you know, it's not like it's a, as far as I know, they didn't even invent this stuff until 95, 96.
Sean, how much do we know about red mercury? In other words, by what percentage would it intensify a nuclear, let's say we had a 1 kiloton nuclear briefcase type bomb, how much difference in kill power would this red mercury make?
A nuclear suitcase bomb could technically take out approximately a square mile with a kill factor of anywhere between, I would say, maybe 150,000 people.
Sounds about right.
Whereas something pumped up with red mercury would take out a 3 mile radius with a kill factor of 250,000 to 500,000.
Well, that's a big
pump. And of course, what it does is that then if the stuff gets into, and of course if they explode one of these things next to a nuclear facility.
Is it, does the red mercury, if you know the technical details, actually enhance the size of the blast, or does it enhance the spread of radiation from it?
I believe it enhances the spread of the radiation from it.
I see.
So This was my first question. Then she said, and this, as I said, was the 21st.
Bearing in mind, this is a lieutenant colonel.
No, this is the colonel. This is a, honestly, I'm sorry. Colonel. We went through a lieutenant colonel to speak to her.
To this colonel.
Was joking with us about, ah, she was spooky psychic.
Do you know what agency...
I can't say. Look, I don't want to blow it with these guys because they're in the process of like running a security check on me now, and I'm already crazy enough. They're going to find out I messed around with Area 51 probably back in the 90s. And
oh, that'll help.
You're the kid with the camera that we shot at on the hill that exposed our most top secret above ground.
That's right. You know that's going to be in your folder.
I know. Because they took my driver's license for God's sake. So, you know, the sheriff every time. You know, Sheriff Lamoureux every time we were out there. So the other things that she told me, and she said that this was not declassified, was that there were, and this was about 2 months ago. This was just
wait a minute. You're about to tell me something that is not declassified?
No, she said this was not. This had been declassified.
Oh, it had been. Really need to be straight on that.
Right.
Okay.
This had been declassified about 2 months ago. This was when Bush put together his whole shadow government scenario with. You know, Dick Cheney with his bureaucratic hobbits and genetically engineered orcs underground someplace, you know, that whole thing.
I know.
She said that there were 6 nuclear briefcase devices that had been smuggled into the United States,
6.
Which is what caused this panic in the government and also caused, you know, Cheney and Powell and everybody to sort of split town and did this whole thing where there would be 100 people. Also of interest is that Bush's shadow government only includes Republicans and only includes the executive branch, I might add.
Yeah, I know. I know. Are you saying they found two?
There are 4 still out there.
Still out there.
And the 2 bombs they found, one they found coming across the border near Niagara, near Buffalo.
Yes.
And the other one they found using a friend of mine who was this Russian psychic I told you about, who's a friend of mine in New York, and they found it on a ship in New York Harbor.
This is all pretty incredible. How confident are you in this information?
Well, I'll tell you because I'll tell you for the next thing that they called me about, which was about the, I don't know if we have time if we're going to go to a break.
No. Go ahead.
That weekend, she also said that they were on a high alert, that they had received what they called a high confidence threat against the Groton Reservoir, I guess Groton, the Groton Reservoir in New York and Indian Point, which was also in New York State, which is a nuclear facility there. Mm-hmm. And that they had divisions. They were in the process. And this was actually within the next 2 days. I saw a lot of this stuff on the news. And she said that there were divisions that they'd scrambled to cover Hoover Dam, Groton Reservoir, and Indian Point specifically. And that they were on very high alert that weekend. So I get a call. This was from my contact, actually. This was the lady that I was in contact with the colonel with. And she called me last, when the heck was it? It was before I left for Florida. So it was last Tuesday, I think it was. Mm-hmm. She calls me last Tuesday, and she says, look, they've got a coordinate for you. And they want you to just view this particular coordinate. And I said, okay, you know, shoot. So it was like 2277 Aqua, I think is what it was. Usually in remote viewing, we use a series of letters and a word of some kind. So I went into trance and started viewing this. And, of course, I thought, okay, this is a high-level Pentagon deal, and the first thing I saw was Osama bin Laden's face. And I thought, okay, maybe this is AOL. Maybe I'm putting analytic overlay on this. Maybe it's just my brain working overtime. I sort of wiped that out. Tried to go back into it again,
mm-hmm.
And very specifically what I saw is I saw him again. And I saw him in an underground facility, a ratty cave, actually, but connected to some what appeared to be some medical equipment being attended to by not only a group of Muslims, but also 2 doctors specifically that looked to me to be... They were white. I couldn't tell if they were American or European, but they were specifically white, and they seemed to be tending to him.
The rumor is, of course, he is sick.
Well, moving back from the target, then, I then looked around, and I saw what looked like that this hill was right on the Pakistan-Afghanistan border. Okay. I got the impression that these caves went underneath the border.
Were you able to discern which country it was actually?
No, at first I didn't know, but I just figured that, because all I saw... was that there was a border to another country, that there were then what appeared to be a Y-shaped road. In other words, a road that went straight and then forked around where this area was.
Well, how were you able to discern it was the Afghan-Pakistan border versus, say, Tajikistan or whatever?
I'm getting there. So I figured at first that these tunnels, the first thing I saw was, of course, I thought he was, that this is where my AOL kicks in, where it was then I was assuming it was Afghanistan. But I saw it going into another country because I saw border guards and I saw people at a border. Then I saw the road that forked, and I saw a town that was to the west, and he was in the middle of this near a river near the fork in this road. So I call him back and I give them all this information. They then say, we want you to go on the net and look up the town of Khoust, K-H-O-W-S-T, Khoust in Afghanistan.
Right.
So we get on the net. I look up Khoust. I'm looking at a map of Khoust, and lo and behold, there's the city to the west that I'm seeing. It's right on the Pakistani border, and there's the two roads to the east of Khoust, and actually the fork in the road itself is, a city called Yaez, with a river that runs right through it. And I thought, holy cow! And they said, yeah, you hit it dead on.
So you're telling me this is where Osama bin Laden is right now?
Because then on the news this last weekend, if you'll notice, that they then said on Fox and CNN that reports had come into the United States that not only was Osama bin Laden alive, but Osama bin Laden, they were focusing their search on an eastern section of Afghanistan near the Afghan-Pakistan border. And I'm telling you, it's this town. And this is why this is so significant, because it relates back to this program. This is the reason Khoust is unique. Back in 1998, if you remember all the crazy stuff that was going on back in 1998.
Sure.
This was at the same period of time that in June, I think it was June 23rd of 98, that I made the prediction about Clinton. And I said that Clinton on the 19th of August, that there would be an announcement that would be made that would lead to his impeachment. And, of course, then I hit it actually right on the day.
You did.
At the same time, if you remember, I was dating a girl up in the girl in Julia up in Studio City, and I was actually tearing down the freeway on the 405, and this policeman pulled me over, and the guy took a look at my license and said, "Are you the Sean David Morton?" And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "You know, Art Bell's looking for you right now. you got me out of a ticket coming down the 405."
Oh, he let you go, huh?
Yeah. He said, "You know, Art Bell's looking for you." And I listened to him, and here's your call. You go home and call Art Bell.
Yeah.
So I got back in, and I called you on the phone. At that time,
yes.
I remember, and I've said this on numerous other shows since, I saw a vision, and this was a vision that was actually witnessed by Julia, this lady I was dating, of Shiva, in essence, of this blue man who had what appeared to be these multiple arms holding arrows and needles and a sword that said, the dogs of war have been unchained, the needles of Shiva have been unleashed, now is the beginning of the end. And the next day was when Clinton made, and not only, I think in the same time frame, Clinton not only made his announcement, but also bombed, remember the pharmaceutical factory that he claimed was making chemical weapons?
I certainly
that
recall.
Was Khoust. And Khoust, that area right there, was where Osama bin Laden's relatives were killed, because 148 people were killed in that blast. That was when the Pakistanis got a hold of one of our cruise missiles, because the second missile went off course, landed in Pakistan, and the Pakis were going crazy because they had this thing on a truck on the news saying that this was a gift from Allah, because now they had some of our most advanced guided missile technology.
I recall that story.
To tear apart, figure out how it works, so they could put their nuclear bombs on it and go blow up India, which was another big prediction from 1994 that this whole third world conflict would really get into it when Pakistan attacked India with troops and nuclear weapons. And after that, it was when bin Laden declared the jihad against the United States, declared the fatwa against all Americans.
All of that's
everywhere.
Correct, yes. Uh-huh.
And at that same time was when he asked for volunteers for the Al-Qaeda network and 100,000 Afghans and Pakistanis and people from all around the world at that time joined Al-Qaeda. And now here we are back looking at Khoust once again.
And you're saying he's there, he's got cells in this country that have four suitcase nukes someplace or another in the United States. Does he have communication with the people in this country?
I don't know. That's all I can tell you about. And remember, I thought...
That's a lot.
I made a prediction that, I thought he was dead.
Well, based on all...
I did this remote.
All right, so now you're saying he's not dead, and you've told us where he is. Would you say the dogs of war are outside our house and they're barking right now and we can hear them. Are they that close?
Indeed they are.
They are.
Indeed they are.
All right, hold on, Sean. We're at the top of the hour.
Yeah. What is it good for? Absolutely. Say it again, y'all. What? What is it good for? Absolutely. Listen to me.
Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye. From west of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222 or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Networks.
Brother, this is certainly a wild one so far, isn't it? Sean David Morton is here, and we're talking about what he sees coming, or in this particular case, information, first-hand information he's giving us about what he heard directly from a representative of the government. Very interesting times to be alive, and we'll be right back, probably. Back now to Sean David Morton. Sean, you're back on the air again.
Hey, I just, it's webmaster@artbell.com.
That's correct.
Okay, I sent, I sent the graphic of mechanics of a polar flip, specifically from the World in Peril scientific findings book, and I also sent him a north magnetic pole that showed where the magnetic pole was in 1861 and where it was as of 1992 and how there's only something like 488 miles left to go.
All right.
And that it will speed up. And I just want to make one comment before we jump into it. The greatest thing for me to be able to work with these people, I mean, if this all works out, as I said, I was just, you know, I was given one test, which obviously I think I passed. In regards to a location, talking about Kaust and this area, which is now, by the way, all terrorist training camps, and that, you know, what used to be, as I said, pharmaceutical factories and what have you, but it's all terrorist training camps now, is that for the first time that if I have the opportunity to work with these people, their goal, according to them, was to be able to set up a control group of maybe 12 people across the United States, and that these 12 people would then be connected to a group of 12, so literally like 144,000 or 13, one person in the center and then 12 people.
Right.
And because I've been going all across the country and teaching remote viewing seminars with my whole spiritual remote viewing aspect of this, of trying to take this wondrous technology out of, I think, what the military's done to it and use it for peace and prosperity, and, you know, use it for health and healing and personal enrichment, I'm tapped into a fabulous base of people who have been immensely talented and very, very gifted in regards to remote viewing. And, you know, I've laughingly called these people the Doom Patrol, because I'm in the process of giving them coordinates of things that I want to know. And if if I actually get a chance to work with these guys and do something, I mean, my biggest sorrow in doing all of this has been that, you know, it's great to get up on the radio and maybe publish all this, but I just see over and over and over and over ways that we could stop things or give a warning and to actually be listened to by a government agency.
How, Sean, do we stop things?
Well, like, for example, the classic example is that they found a nuclear bomb in New York Harbor, for goodness sakes, you know, using a person of this type of ability. I mean, there you are. You know, possibly that, you know, maybe they'll round up Bin Laden, or maybe they'll, you know, here's a guy that before I did the remote viewing, I thought he was killed in the first part of February, but maybe he was just wounded by, because remember there were reports on the 4th of February.
Well, if you are correct about what you have learned, then you're right. They're going to be using remote viewers, psychics, intuitives, everybody they can get their little hands on, and I am getting indications that our government is reaching out to people with these talents right now.
Right.
Which, in a way, worries me.
Well, but remember,
maybe I should be comforted, but in a way it worries me because it means they've really reached the end of their line.
Because they're using a group of people as a control, I can imagine that they probably ask the same question of 20 people.
Oh, I bet.
And if they get, you know, an 80% hit on people getting the same thing, it's exactly like how...
Yeah, you'd have to think about that.
Sure. When I teach my remote viewing classes and I show them how to predict the outcome of a random number generator, like a dice or a roulette wheel, I have, usually what I do at the end of the class, I have six targets, which I know what the six targets are. I give them a coordinate. The class will then view one of the targets. Let's say target number three is, you know, a white fluffy kitten, and I know that they've hit target number three. And remember, I'm getting a consensus of people of, say, one person who feels something fluffy and somebody else sees something white and another person sees an animal and what have you, and then I'll write the number three on the back of the board and have somebody come up and, you know, say, okay, pick a dice, roll it.
Sean,
the dice will come up three.
Sean, you said you did hear the first hour. Did you hear me read the latest from Gordon Michael Scallion?
Yes, I did, and it's exactly what we've been talking about.
It certainly is.
On this program going back 10 years where there is not a single religion on the planet. And I don't know when the Islamic extremists are going to get this through their heads because, you know, you're seeing the classic example of what happens when religious fundamentalists get together with political lunatics, that there is not a single religion on the planet, not Islam, not Judaism, not Christianity, not Baha'i, not Zoroaster, not Jainism, not any of these religions that don't have a fundamental core belief that the way you behave on the earth affects the earth upon which you live.
Right.
And that the earth is a mechanism, is a living organic being, if you will, of which humanity makes up. Remember, I was talking about that there were six planetary chakras, that there was Lhasa Tibet, Cairo, Egypt, Stonehenge, Machu Picchu, downtown Los Angeles, Osaka, Japan, were the six planetary chakras. But the seventh chakra of the world is the human mind. It's what Desjardins called the new sphere, or quite possibly the Internet, all of the things that we're looking at now, Internet.
They may soon be one, the human mind and the Internet.
It is linking the seventh chakra, and the way you behave directly on the planet, you are punished by God in the Old Testament if you don't behave in a certain way, by fires, floods, famines, earthquakes, natural catastrophes, which are then usually followed by either totalitarian governments or foreign invasions.
But really, you and Gordon are making the case that this is coming from within us all.
Yes, indeed, it's coming from a process. As I said, I think that the whole area of the lower back is directly linked to the second chakra, is directly linked to what's happening in the Middle East, and people who are very sensitive to it are being triggered.
Maybe that's what happened to me. All right, listen, I'm going to take you off on just a side course for a second, because I know it's not on your list, but so many times on your program you have successfully predicted what the markets will do now.
Okay.
The markets lately have sucked. Let's look at the close yesterday.
You can blame the New England Patriots. That's who you can blame.
The Nasdaq at 1725.24, Sean. That's the close, yesterday's close.
It'll get worse. It'll go to 1375.
Oh, my God. The Dow Jones closing yesterday 205 plus points down.
Mm-hmm.
Standard & Poor's 2.37% down.
Right.
We get a little good day and then a very bad day, then another bad day, then maybe a little good day. But the general direction, boy, oh boy, has it been down. And now you're saying, what did you say the NASDAQ would hit? 13?
1375.
Holy moly.
That's the bottom of this wave.
What about the Dow, which is, hovering around 10,000 again?
Well, it's exactly as expected. We just put out an issue. As a matter of fact, everybody that subscribes to the newsletter on this show or... they can subscribe to the website at DelphiAssociates.org or call our number at 888-452-7999. We just did a money issue of the newsletter called Money Matters. And the headline for it is all about the Benjamins. And I hope Delani and the gang got you these, but did you get the three charts that I sent you to put up on the website?
There were three charts
on the website. They should be there because I sent them to Delani, and she says that she sent them on to Keith.
Okay, well, then they're I'll tell you in about 1 second.
Okay, the first chart specifically was cycle 23. This is the sunspot number prediction in March of 2002. This comes off the NASA website that actually directly shows you the range that they thought cycle 23 would go through, beginning in 1996, peaking in 2000, 2001, and then coming down the other side in approximately 2004, 2005.
All right, Sean, those are not specifically on the website. What we have is your three books and websites, your website, DelphiAssociates.org. So,
okay,
Keith is on the road right now,
okay.
And so we're getting a delay in what we're getting up on the website. But anyway, just give us a vocal version.
Okay, I was so hoping that we could have these up, and what I'll do is that let me put these up on our site, and you can at least see them.
All right. Meantime, give us the vocal version.
Cycle 23, specifically, what I did in these three graphics was that with cycle 23, you can see that the cycle itself over the course of from 1996 on has now jumped off the chart approximately seven times to the point of where when the market hit its high in 2000, was when we had like the X class, the flares that went off the chart that they had to reclassify as Y class flares.
That's right.
Then the next chart that I had was actually the Standard & Poor, specifically the S&P monthly, and I actually laid it out and showed the S&P monthly, and then I used Photoshop and I laid the Standard & Poor, this is the cash index, the Standard & Poor 500 cash index, and laid it over date for date the cycle 23 sunspot graphic from NASA, and you will see that the spikes on the sun, specifically according to the sunspot cycle, match exactly the jumps and dives on the Standard & Poor.
I'm getting information, breaking news right now, that Venezuela's president has been tossed out by the military.
Right.
Great is right, by the military. They're big, the oil coming from Venezuela has slowed to a trickle because of a number of problems, but now the military has Venezuela. Oh, my God.
And they're I don't know if they're fourth or sixth, but they're, I think, the fourth largest supplier to the world and maybe the fourth or fifth largest supplier to the United States.
Yeah, with Venezuela in big trouble here, obviously. This is breaking news here, folks. And they're being such a big supplier. And, of course, Iraq announcing that they've cut us off.
Well, here we go. I mean, I thought this was going to be a big prediction that, that gas was going to hit $3, $3.50 this summer.
That's a big rumor going everywhere.
That's a big Captain Obvious prediction now. Specifically in regards to the markets, and as I said, everybody that subscribes to the newsletter, and I can say this, that just for the record, that I have the best checkable track record for predicting economic trends in the stock market of anyone else in the world.
I know you do.
And, it's not ego that I say that. I'm good at this.
I know
what I'm doing.
I know.
And I think the biggest thing, and the reason I wanted to send you this graphic, the biggest thing was is that by predicting the economic cycles using mathematics, and this is where things get a little scary as far as not only the markets, but what's about to happen in the latter half of May and in August of this year. is that I work with, I gather a lot of this, a lot of information, and I work with an Israeli mathematician who's a genius out of New York City, Dr. Eli Aliman. And he and I put our heads together, and we put these charts together, and we talk about the various trends and what's going on. Just doing the mathematics, to give you an idea, and the market is exactly in the range that we expected. That what we're looking at now is I'm looking at the Dow Jones chart that we did that's actually in the Money Matters newsletter, which everybody will get if they subscribe to the newsletter this month. We're looking at 10,000. We're looking at the floor for the Dow Jones right now at the end of, and I sent everybody out an email alert saying that the market was on its way up in this wave and that it was going to start disastrously heading back down the other side. The market was at, the first target that I had for the upside of the market was 10,632, which is almost exactly what it went to.
Yes.
And then the market started would start tumbling down to right at 10,000. So you should actually see, in my opinion, in the next month or so, well, in the next few weeks, you'll actually see the Dow Jones, anyway, go to, I think the floor is right about 12,000. It's actually about 9,950 about then. But I think my projection is that the next upward wave of this cycle, and this is going to be at the cost kind of the NASDAQ, but I do believe that you're going to see the Dow Jones, and this is an outrageous prediction to make, but I guess that's my stock and trade, that the Dow Jones will break a record by August of this year. The markets will start back up, and that the Dow will reach at least, because the actual projection we have is just over 12,025, but just a little under 12,000 will actually break. I think the record was 11,780.
That's gigantic by August. And when will that begin?
It should, the bottom of the market should be of the Dow should it should bottom out within about the next 2 weeks, start back up again. Because you see, the way it works is that it goes in waves, like waves on the beach. So usually the lower.
How does an oil shock figure into that?
I'm not sure. I mean, that's the weird part about this is that when people go into utilities, for example, when they get out of the NASDAQ, they go into utilities. They go into oil stocks. They go into Exxon. They go into Mobil. They go into...
Sometimes they go into flipping burgers if they've been in the NASDAQ.
But yeah, indeed. Like my brother didn't take my advice, and he lost like $3 million. But it creates an artificial pocket of sorts. And all I can tell you is that it's going to... It should break a record by August. The only thing is that there's two... major things that happen, and this is just doing the math. This is without talking about the Saturn Pluto oppositions, without talking about anything else that's going on around it. Just by doing the mathematics, and remember, this is one of the things that we put forward and started proving that these cycles work using the Delphi Associates newsletter as a backboard for this. That if we can use mathematics to predict the market, then we can use those same mathematics to also predict what the sun is going to do, which I think is an interesting dichotomy of sort of as above, so below, as within, so without.
Yes.
So two things are going to happen here, and this is just doing the math. Between May 15th and June 1st, you are looking at a gigantic, I hate using the word crash because there aren't really crashes in the market anymore. They're bounces. We're living in this kind of weird casino economy that we've got going on, where the Dow and the NASDAQ sort of zip up in waves. But specifically, there'll be a gigantic crash in the NASDAQ, specifically a downward crash in the NASDAQ.
How can
the
it
last
crash
week, the
that
last
much?
Weeks of May.
How can it go that much further? And now I know techs are weak, but my God.
The bottom line of this equation is the NASDAQ going to 693. That's the worst news.
693.
Yeah, that's the bottom of this. That's the bottom
of
this wave.
But we're a technical economy. Anybody jumping in at 693 is going to be among the new class of new millionaires.
Yeah.
If that really happens.
I'm saying that is the worst case scenario for the wave. Usually, that does not happen. You know, 9 times out of 10, that won't be what happens. We think the floor is going to be between 1375 and 1172. Well, and then the NASDAQ is going to start bouncing back up again. But this means that just doing the mathematics, because then I asked Dr. Aliman, I said, by the way, when's the spike in the NASDAQ? And he's doing the math on this. And he said, you know, it's May 25th. And that just completely shocked me. And I said, do you know anything about what's actually going on as far as...
So you're looking at that date as the bottom?
As the bottom, yeah.
And August as... Oh, my God.
And then, but remember, this is the NASDAQ now. We're not talking about the Dow Jones.
No.
Dow Jones has a tendency to create an artificial bubble in... And remember, according to the cycle, the last time we had, the last year of the horse, if you will, China, this is the year of the Blackwater horse, but the year of the fire horse, which was 1966, you also had a huge amount of war, an oil crisis at the same time, the escalation of the Vietnam War, and you had a record stock market that in that same year, which was also the last time you had, astrologically speaking, an opposition of Pluto and Saturn.
So in other words, you believe all this could occur even with an oil shock?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Sean, stand by. We're at the bottom of the hour. Oh, that's going to be good. Of course, we're already on a roller coaster ride with the market, but that's the mother of all roller coasters. Down and out in May, and on top of the mountain in August. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
Kingdom of Nye, from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
Folks, there's a fast-developing story about a drought across all of North America, a really serious drought, declared emergencies already in some areas. The Antarctic is breaking off in large chunks. The Navy is talking about a new sea at the North Pole. The weather is turning pretty weird indeed, and that would seem a good subject to pick up next with Sean, where he sees the weather headed. Well, I'll tell you, every single, like right now, I'm beginning to print an article called Hawaii's Wake. Scientists have discovered something nearly invisible that straddles the vast Pacific Ocean. Just breaking news now, and so I'm going to have to get that for you, but every day now, we're getting stories about what's going on with the environment. There really is an extremely serious drought beginning to take hold in North America, and I don't know about the rest of the world, but very serious here. And of course, as I mentioned, you know, the melting that's going on all over the place, the tundra in Alaska is melting. These are strange times, Sean, weather-wise, and it's really worth asking somebody like yourself where we're going.
Well, there was just a news story recently about the American Eskimo elders, the Athabascans in Alaska, who were saying that it is getting something like 10 degrees warmer there.
Yeah.
That Western, and this is the odd part, is that Western Canada and Alaska are actually getting warmer, whereas it seems as though a great deal of the Siberian cold front was coming down in blasts down across the Great Lakes, and of course in Buffalo, New York, they had that savage storm.
I know, but even the larger picture, Sean,
Well, when you've got a chunk of the Larsen B ice shelf that breaks off, about the size of Florida?
Actually, it was all of Larsen B.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, Larsen B is gone, Sean. The entire Larsen B is gone.
Well,
I'm hearing that Larsen C, or is it A? Well, anyway, the next one doesn't look too stable. So, and the Navy had a story about that. You know, there's going to be an ocean at the North Pole pretty soon. They're not going to be able to hide under the ice anymore with submarines. I mean, these are serious changes going on.
Yeah. Well, if that is really, there are many people that theorize that that was that may have been a location of maybe. An ancient Atlantean, or at least some kind of ancient civilization.
Something, yes.
This Edgar Cayce talked about the return of these various ancient lands.
The BBC right now is reporting this city off Cuba like it's breaking news, and
for them, I guess
it is breaking news.
Yeah,
I
wonder when was the National Geographic was supposed to be covering it? What, this fall or this spring
Well, they're actually in on the investigation. They're part of the investigation.
Right.
So you won't, until they're done and they're ready for a big spread, that's when you'll know about it.
Yeah. Well, as far as let me just cover this piece by piece. That usually, as far as the ice caps breaking up, there are some people that believe that, let's say, for example, the whole thing was to melt, that it would lead to some sort of water world kind of scenario. As I understand it, this is just my humble understanding of this, when you freeze water actually expands when it's frozen. And that the majority of about 80% of most of that ice is actually already underwater. And so let's say it floats off to a more tropical clime, if you will, and then begins to melt. There are people talking about catastrophic rises in the world water level that should be anywhere,
Well, Sean, if the Ross ice shelf should melt, and that's the one on land in the Antarctic, then you would get the kind of sea level rise, without question, that these scientists are talking about. The Larsens of the world are not going to contribute to it because, the mass is already in the water, so it doesn't rise.
Right. Right. But, well, that's what I'm saying, is that that's probably going to, if we're talking about maybe a 3 to 5 foot rise in water levels over, I guess, the next maybe 10, 15, 20 years.
Right.
Unfortunately, that does put big chunks of North and South Carolina, Florida,
Louisiana,
Mississippi, leading back once again to predictions that I've made and others have made, that the mouth of the Mississippi River would be about approximately 100 miles wide, that that there would be land masses that would begin to rise off the coast of Cuba. And this was in the early 1990s, where I was saying that the land masses off Cuba, that eventually this whole chain would be called New Atlantis at some point in the future. And for example, if anybody wants to read about this adventure I had about 100 years or so from now, it's on the website, actually, under the Vajra Chronicles. I believe it's under interviews.
Okay.
On the DelphiAssociates.org website for anybody that wants to read it. I can just say 100 years from now, in his time, that most of that section of the United States is, in fact, underwater. We lose more, actually, the East Coast just through rising water levels than we do the West Coast through gigantic earthquakes or anything like that. Specifically, what's going on, I think, weather-wise with the United States is we're also, and this is all, it's just basically stuff that science is talking about now. I mean, the El Nino is building up steam to return again. We've had these savage storms across the Midwest, specifically the New York, Michigan, Wisconsin area.
Right.
We've had some major goofing with the weather by Lord knows who, whether or not it's the HARP project or whatever's goofing around with the jet stream. You've got the the American Indian elders who were saying that, specifically the Eskimo elders who were saying that the world, they say specifically the world is spinning faster because they used to be able to predict all of the various changes, and now there's, you know, there's no fall, there's no spring, it just goes to dead winter to dead summer. I mean, something's drastically wrong. The biggest problem in a melting of the ice caps would be that if you have a huge influx of fresh water into the oceans, there's a very delicate balance of these, of sort of jet streams in the ocean, if you will, that actually maintain the climate on the planet. And there's been a whole series of Discovery Channel specials about this, that if that's messed with, we live in this very, very fragile ecosystem of about 12,500 years of having nice weather, and then it begins to go off the charts again into something that's glacial. And of course, the natural cycle of the planet is that usually that the planet will heat up, the ice caps will begin to melt, it will increase the water volume across the planet, and then that puts pressure on the land masses. The Earth itself begins to sweat, quite literally, with the pores of the Earth being volcanic activity, because the increase of water contributes to the volume of the landmass, which presses down on the land, which creates earthquakes and volcanoes. The volcanoes then dump silicates into the atmosphere, and you have a brief period of anywhere between 20 and 50 years or so where it gets very, very hot, and then it gets savagely cold. You then introduce yourself to another ice age, and in the prospect of an ice age, the technologically advanced people, if you will, of, say, Europe and North America, would then have to, en masse, move their populations down to the equator, into places like Africa and South America, if this were to occur. And, of course, I guess some rather dark, nefarious individuals might be actually looking at this as a political science equation, if you will, that if we need to move Northern European populations back down to the poles, that we need to get rid of the people that are living there now through the introduction of various diseases in Africa or maybe South America, and that this may be a global depopulation plan of some kind that may be a precursor to this sort of this kind of final solution. As far as what's going on in the United States, just looking at the weather, I don't think I have anything to add to what other people say outside of the last time we had some major comets come through, we had massive flooding, and of course there's a comet on the horizon now.
Actually, there's two or three of them, and they always portend change, don't they?
Portend change, usually portend droughts. There was, I think in 96, 97, when we had the comet come through here, it was there were massive floods, actually, in North
Carolina. You are in Southern California, right?
Southern California. It's been
California really doesn't have much of a season change.
We don't have any weather at all.
Now, here in Southern Nevada, we have, in fact, gone from wintertime when you had to wear a coat during the day, that kind of at least cold, to now we're in the 90s, Sean, and it did that, boom, just like that. It did it that fast. Now, maybe it's not that unusual for this area. It'd be interesting to hear from other people in areas of the country where normally they do have long seasonal changes,
right?
Springs and fall, and whether that's not been true, whether it's not true now.
Okay.
I'd like to hear from them. So it may well be that's exactly right. That's pretty worrisome.
Well, that's the biggest thing from everything. This is, what you're talking about is the culmination of everything we've been talking about, and you've been talking about it on your show for so many years, is
right.
That on the one hand, we have a rather savage solar cycle that we're going through now. Mm-hmm. Solar cycles are usually only 11.2 years, and this one's already lasted 12.6, I think it is.
He's right about that, folks.
So we don't really know what the sun's going to do. We think that the solar cycle is actually going to start back down the other side at some point this year, but they don't know because there's no real end in sight. That also, strangely enough, not only is it to put the electromagnetic phenomenon of the planet right about 2012 to 2014, but that also puts the next solar cycle at 2012 and 2014. Once again, this 10-year away date that we all keep talking about.
And I'm looking forward to going through that.
Well, and when the sun goes to 27 degrees Sagittarius on December 21st of 2012, and actually the head of the sun, if you will, actually will look like the head of a child coming down the birth canal in the black section of the Milky Way, directly lining up with galactic center, with the sun going crazy with a series of coronal mass ejections and whatever, and massive amounts of not only cosmic radiation, but I guess you would say mystic radiation from the center of the galaxy that portends this gigantic influx and this huge ascension process that seems to be going on, which is why I've been trying to get out there as much as I can this year and teach remote viewing and spiritual techniques and because this is really, I mean, I know we've been talking about this for a long time, but I mean, I'm not screwing around now. This is, we're really facing down the barrel of the gun. I mean, we're looking at a series of across the country, and I know we were talking about the weather, but right now, with the Pluto-Saturn opposition that's coming up on the 25th of May, with...
All right, you predicted a horrible event on the East Coast in the spring, May specifically, that would lead to the movement of hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people. And, of course, you coincide that with the low part in the market, too. But is it you're predicting specifically? Can you give us any more specifics? What are you talking about?
I think that there is... This is one other kind of interesting piece of information that came from... that I forgot to mention that came from this Pentagon colonel, that there were... She said that there were 36 vials. They assumed that there were 36 vials of a deviant strain of smallpox, of which they recovered 34 of the 36, she claims. And there were two more of these virals, this deviant strain of smallpox. And I
she
said,
didn't
why
happen
why
to mention
deviant?
Where these deviant strains of smallpox came from, did she?
No. The one thing I do know is that the guy... you won't hear about this really in the press. There's been a couple of stories that have covered it in things like papers like the American Free Press. But they
are you referring to this mad scientist scenario?
Yeah. Well, they caught the guy that was doing the anthrax. You know, you're never going to hear from him, but hear about it because they caught the guy that was sending the anthrax, and they didn't want to make a big public deal.
Well, that doesn't make sense to me, and let me tell you why. Because what's happened has depressed our economy. I've felt so sorry for the U.S. Postal Service. They're a victim of this, and the whole country has been affected. If they actually caught the jerk who did this, why would they not parade him out and say, here he is, so that everybody would sort of at least relax a little bit?
Well, because he was a disgruntled worker that was actually creating anthrax for various arms of the military. And he tried to pin it on an Egyptian scientist.
That's what the story says. He was one of our guys.
Right. It was an Egyptian scientist, but they, like I said, this guy will never see the light of day. There was one article that was done on it in American Free Press that talked about it, but she also intimated that we didn't have to worry about the anthrax bombs anymore. Or not the anthrax bombs, but the stuff that was being sent through the mail, because they caught this guy. The guy's never going to see the light of day again. They're cutting some sort of deal with him. Basically, behind the scenes, he's going to spend the rest of his life in jail. But they're not going to make a public deal out of it. Because
and you're confident, your confidence level on this story?
I'd say that's 100%, because as I said,
really?
that was not only leaked to the press, but you know there was an article, a very extensive article on who they believed it was, as I said, in American Free Press magazine.
Well, I've been very aware of the stories. I read one on the air, but I wasn't really sure of the validity, and I didn't know how much confidence really to have in it. And you're saying high confidence.
Yeah, and let me answer your question about what's going on the East Coast, because everything that I'm seeing.
Yes.
All right, and we talked about the mathematics, where I said, look, this is just the solar cycles and just doing the math. There were two specific spikes that affected the NASDAQ specifically in the latter part of May, and then the Dow Jones in the entire country in those two specific dates. And I'll give you the window of the dates, the window being May 15th through approximately the 1st of June, with the spike date as being May 25th. And then I would say the 15th of, well, let me say the 10th of August through approximately the 1st of September with the spike date.
Yeah, I know. I got all that. But I mean,
August 18th.
This massive thing that's going to occur in May.
These two things. The thing that I believe is going to happen in May is that the energy that I'm seeing now, because I was looking at the maps, I've been looking at these maps all day and doing meditations on it. I don't see this being in New York. I see this as being Washington, D.C. I see it specifically being Washington, D.C., Maryland, that area. I keep focusing on it, and I keep thinking it's a blast of some kind, but every time I get in and I see this movement of people, it it looks like a disease to me. It looks like some kind of either a virulent smallpox or because every time I get in it, these waves of illness, like sickness, go through my body. That's
so
the
then
best
it
I can
is
do.
Your feeling perhaps that the two vials of this deviant smallpox get let loose?
Possibly. But something, it's bigger than that, though. It can't just be those two strains, because that would only, the problem with that is that this smallpox only affects children. It affects older people and children under the age of 10. And, of course, if you had an outbreak of smallpox like that, the government would then swing in to force vaccinations and...
Well, you know, the other day there was a story. Our government issued a story that said there is now enough smallpox vaccine to vaccinate everybody in the country.
Right.
And they've been really boring in on this smallpox thing, and you just have to know that they know something. I mean, they're not doing all this on spec.
If there was one outbreak, Art, you know that they'd be rounding people up and inoculating them with small... I mean, you know, it would certainly be a gigantic boon for the pharmaceutical companies. But then, whatever this is a wind-up. This is because something happens here in the United States that quite conceivably is used as an excuse to finally go after Iraq, to go after Iran, once again, a sort of, 9/11 attack scenario. But I see this one focused on D.C., on government, and then...
Sean, if something like that happened, we would use a nuclear weapon.
Yeah. Yeah, we would. And...
I mean, we have said so. We've gone out of our way recently to say... Something like this occurs, we're reevaluating our use of nuclear weapons. So is Britain. You might as well just tell them straight out, you attack us biologically in a big way, and you're going to get nuked. That's the message.
Well, this is also Bush's warning to all these various countries, like North Korea, that's amassing hundreds of thousands of troops on the South Korean border right now. His way of warning the Chinese in regards to Taiwan. I mean, him coming out, I know a lot of people overreacted to it, but I thought it was the smartest thing he could have done. By saying, look, we're planning on going after Iraq and Iran. Our military forces are going to be tied up. And if you even think of messing with Taiwan or South Korea, we just wanted to remind you that we have the option of first strike, and we have never signed a treaty ever that takes away first strike option from the United States. And whatever happens in May, the August date is going to be a retaliation from that. There are things in August.
And that's when the market goes through the roof.
Yes, through the floor. Actually, it goes through the roof and then goes through the floor, because there's a spike and then a huge drop that are a series of events of historical significance.
Hold it right there. We'll pick up on it after the break. I'm Art Bell. Good morning. This is Coast.
Of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222 or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Network.
Boy, there's a lot of breaking news out there. There has apparently been a military coup. The military has taken over in Venezuela. The president is out, and whatever form of government is out, it's now in the military's hands. That's one. Now I'm getting word that there's been, and I would like to authenticate this, another earthquake in Afghanistan, Kabul, Afghanistan. Can anybody confirm that for me, please? And if so, does anybody know what magnitude? Just lots of breaking news, all of it relevant. Seems like, anyway, with what we're discussing, I've got a really good question for Sean in a moment. Okay, once again, here is Sean David Morton. Okay, Sean, a lot of interesting breaking news right now. I have not yet confirmed this earthquake in Kabul. Wait a minute. Yes, I am confirming it with enough. 5.6 to 5.8 just occurred in Afghan. Oh, my.
East of Kabul on the Afghan-Pakistan border?
Near Kabul is all I can give you right now.
All right.
All right. So, you know, we have dropped a lot of interesting bombs on Afghanistan. And my question is, do you think there's any relationship between the war going on there, what we're doing, and the incredible number of earthquakes right there? I mean, I know they're in a fairly hot zone, but this is hot and hot and hot and hot. Coincidence?
No, they're artificially induced with extra low frequency waves. As a matter of fact, there's a woman that I recommended to your show, Bonnie Raytham. And she wrote a book called
I had her on.
Called Ground Zero. Yeah.
And I had her on. Oh, what an incredible interview.
She's great. And you know, and you've had some great people on this week. I listened to the other night my buddy Mike Brown with George Norrie. That was a great interview. Holy cow. I hope you have him back to talk about the they didn't really talk about the Ark of the Covenant, but I've been contending this since 1993 that it's just interesting that here in California, the last big earthquake we had, for example, which was October of 99, was a big quake out in near Landers. It was actually, I think, Kirkcule, I think was the actual name of the place.
Right.
And seismologists couldn't even get in there for 2 weeks because the Marine Corps was conducting some sort of top secret test in that area when they had the big quake. Part of my predictions of the Northridge quake here in Los Angeles, the reason I was able to pinpoint the date and the size of the quake and the location was that my intuitive information was giving me that the quake would somehow be artificially induced, and I just looked for three extra low frequency wave antennas, which happened to be located at Moffett Field, Beatty, Nevada, which is actually right near you.
Oh yes.
And Edwards Air Force Base, and then I triangulated that if I was using an extra low frequency wave generator, that it actually has to be hit from three different sides as to where it would triangulate, and the three locations were Flagstaff, Arizona, where I predicted a 5.6 quake, Northridge, California, and the other one was actually Vallejo. And the only quake that didn't happen was Vallejo. And I
Do you want to hear something interesting that you don't know?
Sure.
All right. Here in Pahrump, Nevada, there are a lot of microwave shots for a lot of reasons, you know, like everywhere else. I mean, you have microwave shots that deliver the internet, that deliver information to the gas company, that the telephone company uses, microwave shots for all kinds of things, right?
Right.
They've all been getting clobbered. We've had several instances in the valley in recent weeks, Sean, of electromagnetic blankets. I mean, just everything's shutting down. Now, everybody out here, of course, goes, the military's at it again. And they probably are. Mm-hmm. But whatever it is they're at is really powerful, and they're really doing some serious experimentation, and it's washing right over us here every now and then. Thought you might like to know.
I'm convinced that what they were doing here in California, and this was announced in 93 before the Northridge quake, they were doing something called Project Shockwave. And Shockwave was the U.S. Navy teamed up with the United States Geological Survey to bury a series of bombs in California to supposedly that created like 1.5 to 2.0 quakes. Studied the, and this was in L.A. Times, all the various papers, to study the fault lines and various quake lines in California. And I'm convinced that the military, just like Bonnie, who you had on the show, you know, that they have earthquake inducement devices. And what they're in the process of doing in Afghanistan is that so much of that country is tunneled under because of their fight with the Russians, that they're in the process now of collapsing miles of underground tunnels and chambers
with
earthquake technology.
God,
that's what they're doing. I'm surprised.
Here's
a prediction for you.
Okay.
I think there'll be. You watch if there's not an earthquake near Kaust, like really soon. within maybe the next 4 weeks, that if they can actually induce a whole series of quakes along the Pakistan-Afghanistan border near Khoust, which is where I think that they think that bin Laden's hiding.
Right. There would be one there. Would follow. Okay. All right. Extension. If you believe they have the technology to be doing this, do you think they have the technology to also prevent earthquakes, or by initiating a series of small quakes to stop a big one? Because we've been very lucky, as you pointed out.
That's exactly what I believe they're doing with California.
So they're protecting us, but right now we're at war with Afghanistan, and they're causing earthquakes there.
Well, if you look at, for example, the Northridge quake, all the energy from the Northridge quake was building on the San Andreas Fault in Palmdale, directly underneath Edwards Air Force Base. And, of course, there's a gigantic top-secret Northridge facility in that same area called the Ant Hill, and it was all building there. And the Northridge quake jumped in the opposite direction of the plate movement. It completely mystified everybody as to why the epicenter of the Northridge quake was a 9.3, and yet 2 miles away it's a 5, and then it dives into the mountains and it's a 4.
Do you think all initiated with the use of Tesla technology?
Yes, I do. You look at when the quake happened. It happened very early in the morning on Martin Luther King Day, specifically, which means that they wanted to be able to minimize any social unrest that might have occurred in the inner city. Mm-hmm. Schools were out. I mean, California was pretty much fixed within like 6 months. We got instant federal money. And we're in the process now of, I think, here's the problem. My theory is that with the series of quakes that we've seen out in the desert near Landers, Hercule, out at China Lake, we just had a whole series of, you know, 5.5.
Yeah, that's right.
In China Lake, always under the Naval Weapons Center, is that California is, according to geologists, quote, spreading out nicely. Unfortunately, California is crushing Oregon and Washington, which is why you have these very big quakes, deep quakes, underneath Seattle back in February, which I think will lead to the eruption of Mount Rainier, at least first Mount Baker anyway, and then Mount Rainier, coming up in the spring of 2003 through 2004. I think that somebody somewhere has decided that they're willing to risk quakes in less populated areas like Oregon and Washington, or lose Oregon and Washington and not have the rupturing quakes in California, which would, of course, wipe out the fifth largest economy in the world, 60% of our computer industry, most of our defense, probably half of the agriculture in the United States. If California was to slide into the ocean tomorrow, that's it. I mean, bink goes the world.
Fully 20% of the economy, I believe.
Yeah. You know, you can't afford to lose it. So I think that there's a whole project that was developed from Shockwave to basically trigger these various explosions, and I think that same military technology, which is very easy, you take three extra low-frequency waves, you triangulate them, and you collapse things. You know, heck, they've got sonic drillers now that actually use sound that can virtually vaporize mountains. They just move into it, and most of that underground drilling technology has been used over the last 10 years. It's being used to build gigantic underground bases in Australia, Pine Gap in the outback, where you talked about all those UFOs there.
Oh, yes.
They've moved a massive amount of all the flying saucer technology and anti-gravitic stuff, and you know, and they've been ordering 100-foot drill bits. You know, it's not a big secret that they're building what appears to be a series of gigantic underground complexes in near Pine Gap, Alice Springs, you know, the center part of Australia, which is considered the Australian Area 51.
And so you think they could actually be moving? The U.S. government could be moving its research facilities, the dark, really dark ones, to Australia.
I think there's underground bases there. The majority, what I've discovered, and of course, you know, I'm up on this from Area 51, and you know, when they took a lot of the technology out of there, at least they stopped testing some of it. First thing, the flying saucer stuff and the discs have actually been integrated into war games, which is one of the things that we saw when I was out there with a group of people in May of 2000.
The entire headline of Bonnie's appearance on this program was the fact that they gamed at a security level above hers against non-human adversaries. I mean, that was a big headline.
Wow. Well, we saw it. I mean, I was out there with some Canadians, and we got caught right in the middle of a war game where we saw flanks of choppers and jets patrolling the area with choppers with discs integrated into what appeared to be a full war game scenario, as opposed to us being out there, you know, freezing our tuchuses off,
yes.
You know, chasing these little bouncy discs up and down that, you know, you'd see and then you wouldn't see and they'd bounce up and down. But the major place where they've moved the majority of the stuff is into a gigantic underground facility underneath a place called Kings Peak, Utah. That's actually I can imagine these Pentagon guys listening to this. Kings Peak, Utah, in the Uinta National Forest, which is about 60 miles from downtown Salt Lake, is now the center of what they're calling the U.S. Space Command. They're using a lot of the shuttle stuff, which is the X-33 and the Venture Star and all the Skunk Works stuff up there, to act as a financial cover for what they've moved in up there. But as far as all my information goes, that's dead center of all.
Well, maybe when you're done with my interview, you'll be doing their interview.
Well, the idea being is that, you know, all this technology is not for the Middle East. It's not for any war we're fighting now. They're holding back all this stuff because every military source that I talk to says that this is all technology that's to be used in maybe 10, 15 years, but against the Chinese in some sort of, you know, gigantic Megillah that's in essence Armageddon, and that their biggest fear is right now that China will take over Siberia, primarily to maybe even buy it from the Russians, but just walk into Siberia to fuel their country, which then puts them 2 miles away from the United States across the Bering Straits, and that there would be some sort of massive Chinese invasion of the U.S. sometime in 2015. So
Let you plug your newsletter.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much.
We've got so much stuff that have covered tonight. We almost haven't had time. So you do have a newsletter in which all of this and so much more is documented. And the record you claim is just fine because it's documented in the newsletter. I mean, you can go back and actually underline the predictions and the success rate and all the rest of it, and that's done very carefully on your website for those who are skeptics. Anyway, tell them about your newsletter.
If you check out the website at DelphiAssociates.org, www.DelphiAssociates.org.
The one we've got a link to, folks.
Yes, which you have a link on Art Bell. You can actually order the newsletter directly from the website. It's all point and click. It's very easy. We have operators actually standing by. We actually told the girls in the office that they're 24 hours. It's a great service. They've probably got maybe 20 people standing by ready to take calls. So just to make it real easy, one phone number is 888-452-7999. That's 888-452-7999, 888-452-7999.
And that would be answered even right now?
Right now, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. We've got 20 girls on staff.
And what's the deal? How much?
It's $60 a year, and it's 12 issues. It's full color. You will get the Money Matters issue. So everything that we were talking about in regards to
the market,
you'll get the Money Matters. We got stock picks. We got future trends. We've got all the charts that we talked about. We show you where the Nasdaq and where the Dow Jones are going to go. So everybody that's like stock geeks out there that wants to do some trading, also on the website you can sign up for our electronic updates, which are free. You just click on, you know, if you want to be informed. And for example, I warned people and said, look, the Dow was going to go to about 10,650 to about 10,007, and that we were going to face a downward spiral for the next month, so hopefully everybody got out. But we've got a whole list of stock picks, so everybody that orders the newsletter now will actually get the Money Matters issue as their first issue, and we'll ship it out to your first class. And let me mention one last thing.
Yes.
I've been teaching the whole focus of my year. A couple of things coming up. Number one, I sold a script to Wesley Snipes, so I'm working on a script for him.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations. So Wesley and I are going to do a movie together.
That's great.
Number two.
Any idea what kind of movie?
Oh, yeah. The movie's called Hellion, and it's a metaphysical horror thriller. It's kind of like Sam Spade in The Twilight Zone. It's very cool.
Kind of like this program.
And I've also been talking to people at his company. I can't say.
All right, we'll stop where you.
Okay, I've been focusing on spiritual remote viewing and getting out there, meeting the people, and I can also say that your audience is so great, and you've got such a wonderful fan base out there. And I know you don't get a chance to go out and meet everybody, but I've been doing it out there for you.
Thank you.
I've got an SRV class, just very briefly for those. I'm coming to Phoenix, Arizona, on April 27th. I'm going to be back in New York City. So hi to Valadetta and all
you
the
to, you ought to say
there.
Where. I mean, you say Phoenix. A lot of people in Phoenix are listening. Where in Phoenix?
Anybody, it's all on the website as to where to go.
All
and
right.
You can actually call our 800 number, the 888-452-7999. But I'm in Phoenix on April 27th. I'll be in New York City at the American Conference Center on May 11th and 12th. I'm teaching Phase 1 and Phase 2 of Spiritual Remote Viewing. I'll be in San Francisco on the 18th of May. On June 7th, I'm going to be in, I'm actually giving a lecture in Salt Lake City, and then I'm doing a seminar on June 8th in Salt Lake City. June 22nd, I'm in Seattle, Washington. I'm actually going to be talking to the Seattle Chat Club up there.
Boy, you're really traveling a lot.
And then July 13th, I'm in Boston for an SRV. You ready for this? July 19th, hey!
What? I'm hearing beeps.
I'm actually getting married on July 19th.
Oh, so. The beep was a little sort of a... Sort of a drum roll.
Okay.
Is that what that was?
Yeah, so hopefully you can come. It's going to be like a traditional Irish wedding. I just sort of wonder how you're going to look in a kilt if you actually come to the wedding. So I'm getting married on the 19th of July.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
The history is that somehow you met her through this program?
Melissa was actually for about 10 years or so, she was a listener to your show.
Yes.
And we actually met at a sort of a metaphysical conference that was being thrown by Robert Ghostwolf in Las Vegas back in, when was it? It was the fall of 1998, I guess.
Did you know that I'm an ordained minister?
Really? Well,
yes, I sent away for and received my ordination, and I can marry people.
You want to come perform the ceremony, Art?
Absolutely not. But I've got the certificate.
Well, if you and Ramona can make it, we'll send you an invitation. I know it's going to be on a Friday because you know. If you can make it, I'd love to have you there. So
you're gonna get married.
888-452-7999. Everybody that wants to get the newsletter, so. You know, you can help us with the ceremony by ordering the newsletter.
All right. Yeah, big ceremony, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
All right, hold on. We're at the bottom of the hour. All right, everybody. That's that number again for him is 888-452-7999.
Kingdom of Nye from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach out on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nine.
It certainly is. Tomorrow night, Friday night, Saturday morning, open lines all evening long. Now, I am fully prepared to accept by email suggestions for some special line that you would all like to see opened up. And if one of these suggestions strikes me as brilliant, then tomorrow night we'll open some special line for some special, probably very weird purpose. How can you make these suggestions? Send it to Art Bell at mindspring.com or artbell at AOL.com. I'll get it one way or the other. And I will take the suggestion that just, I don't know, hits my heart chakra just right, and we'll run with it. So, want to make a suggestion? Do it by email between now and tomorrow night's show. I'll be looking. All right. All right. Again, very interesting breaking news during the course of the program tonight. So frequently that occurs with the military taking over. New government in Venezuela for the moment is military. Civilian is gone. These things happen. Governments come and go in South America, but Venezuela's pretty important government or country, I should say, because, of course, of the oil reserves. And then, additionally, we're looking at a 5.6, 5.8, it would appear, magnitude earthquake in the Kabul area in Afghanistan. My guest is Sean David Morton, and we're about to go to the phones and let you ask questions, if that's okay with Sean.
Fine with me.
Anything else that, like, is a must get out on the air that we've somehow not covered before we do that?
Oh, just very quickly and very briefly to just go over just a couple of things we talked about at Christmas.
Oh, wait, I do have one finish-off thing. You said the market was going to tank in May, peak in August.
But the NASDAQ would tank.
Yeah, and then you said, but then there's going to be a gigantic valley after that, and after August, I presume. How gigantic? What are you talking about?
Well, if we're talking about the Dow Jones going to 11.7 or so, we're talking about another dip down probably within that next 2 months period to back down to around, I'd say, 9,000 or so. The market's not going anywhere. I mean, the idea being is that when all these hit a wall, every political, economic cycle that I see for the United States just hits a wall in 2005, and I think that has to do with a series of massive plagues that hit the world from 2004 to 2006. A huge number of people turning 56 and actually retiring in 2005. The economic aspect of the United States of us being at the tail end of the whole Islamic Jihad.
When do people get to retire at 56?
Well, you can cash out your 401ks, I think it is, or at 56, I believe.
Really?
And so there's a lot of people that are actually just going to be heading for the exits at that point. But 2005, the market's going to go, the Dow specifically, will go to somewhere around 16,000 to about 16,500 to almost, optimistically, 17,000. Before the rug's pulled out of this hole. Well, if you remember on the show back in 91, you know, between 91 and about 93, I was talking about the markets going to 8,000, and everybody thought I was crazy, and then I said they'd go to 10.
17,000, that would be really something to see.
Well, between now and 2005, that'll happen. That does not mean that it's good for the economy, though. It means a globalization of several corporations that take over pretty much everything that leads to some kind of massive global revolt. The more money and property and business that's in the hands of the fewer people, the greater the upheaval and the bloodier the revolution usually is.
All we need is a global Enron. All right. Listen, I've got a lot of callers here.
Okay.
First time caller line, you're on the air with Sean David Morton. Hi.
Hi.
Where are you, hon?
I live in Arizona.
Arizona. Okay. You're going to have to kind of yell at us. You're not too loud. Go ahead.
Okay. My name's Samantha in Arizona.
Hi, Samantha.
Right. Hi. I was wondering, what effect do you think will the fact that people like Lance Bass are going to be going into space and stuff, and with the Soviets, do you think that'll have effect on our economy or on the global, the world? at all in, like, the coming years, if it'll have, like, a good or bad effect?
Okay, I didn't hear the whole question. You sort of broke out.
I didn't hear it either. Do you think, repeat it, dear.
Okay, I was wondering if the fact that, like, civilians will, like, more and more people are, like, paying to go into outer space, like, for instance, like, Lance from NSYNC.
Oh, people that are paying to go to outer space.
20,000. Do you think that'll have a bad, like, effect on, like, the economy and, like, the government and stuff?
All right, John, you want to take that?
I was kind of hoping we could send NSYNC to outer space and not bring them down.
And not bring them back?
I don't know. I think it's, I don't really have a comment. I think it's a fun question, but, I mean, I'd love to go, and, you know, if I had as much money as Justin Timberlake or whoever it is, hell, I'd go in a second. But
and there are also people who would wish you to be left out there as well.
Me too,
believe me.
I'm sure. But I think NASA should lose. I mean, my opinion is I think NASA should totally loosen up. It is a civilian space agency, and if people are willing to pay money to support our space program and get us out into space and complete the International Space Station and international research, I think it should...
Well,
it should
that certainly is a Russian attitude. I don't know why we can't get loose ourselves about it.
I think it's just ridiculous. I think it's just because of the Challenger disaster and all that, they don't let civilians go into space anymore. It's mostly... 80% of the shuttle missions are all military anyway.
So make them sign a paper. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Sean David Morton. Hello.
Hi, this is Tony from Boise, Idaho.
Hey, Tony.
And I was wondering... I heard a show not too long ago, earlier this year, about Planet X.
Yes.
And, it was a frightening show. And the guy said that June was when this Planet X was supposed to hit.
Spring, yeah. Yeah. All right, let's ask Sean about that.
I don't have any... People keep asking me about this.
Here's the thing.
Other than the fact that I think that astronomy is an immensely populist science.
But, Sean, hold it.
Yes.
There was and is an ABCNews.com article about this big thing they found out there that is either a 10th planet, according to astronomers, or a burned-out sun. I mean, something of that magnitude.
You mean Nemesis?
Well, I don't know if I mean that.
Okay.
And I don't know that that's Planet X. But the people who are talking up this whole Planet X thing are supported to some degree by some astronomical observations that have hit the mainstream press.
I don't have any real opinions on it because I'm just people. I think that if Planet X came around 3,600 years ago, that would have been approximately the Hebrew Exodus out of Egypt, and of course the planet I don't think tipped over then. If it's 9 times the size of the Earth and it's coming towards us, I would think that there would be, as I said, astronomy is a very populist science. You have Hale and Bopp, and I mean, 14-year-old kid discovered Hayak Itaki, the big comet of a few years back. So.
Yep, and in fact, Japanese discovered the new 2 or 3 that are on the way.
Japanese kids with their telescopes.
With binoculars, actually.
Right, and I the only reason I'm not a big believer in it is because it doesn't really fit into, it's not in any of the future history that I've seen, and it doesn't really fit into the prophetic timeline, as I understand it, but you know, it could
be
out there. I just don't really have an opinion on it.
All right, good. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Sean David Morton. Hello.
Hi, Art. Hi, Sean.
Hi.
One quick question for you. You mentioned earlier that you saw Bin Laden at the coordinates that were given to you.
Yeah.
I was curious if perhaps that was anywhere near where the earthquake was reported earlier this morning.
I don't know. Art said it was in. He said the earthquake was in Kabul.
Closer to Kabul is what we're getting, sir. Now I don't know. That would be some distance, of course, from where. Sean, how far is Kabul from the point you're talking about?
Khoust is approximately. If I'm looking at, let me look at the map of Afghanistan here. Not far. I mean, Khoust is actually right on the. If you look at Kabul and Jalalabad, I mean it's. According to the map I've got, it's within maybe 400 miles.
Okay, I'm getting reports now. MSNBC is saying that the quake hit a town in Afghanistan named Nahrin, N-A-H-R-I-N.
Okay, it's not on the map that I've got, but if it's Khoust is right on the Pakistan border, north and east of Kabul.
There you go, caller. You bet. It's breaking news. So sorry. It's the best that we can do. I don't know where this Nahrin, I presume, is close to Kabul somewhere. So it's all in the vicinity. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Sean David Morton. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. My name is Lee, and I'm calling from somewhere in the United States. I wanted to have where because of the questions I'm going to ask.
Okay.
But what I wanted, just really quick, I want to tell you 1 minute of my history. I had worked in surgery for 30 years. I had a brain tumor for 12 years before the doctors found it. They took it out, but they told me I was going to be on disability the rest of my life because it mashed on my brain stem. I was sleeping 12, 14 hours a day. When I went home to Phoenix at Christmas time, I was given a web page that came from the 18th dimension, and they told me to read these words, and it would help me heal. I started reading these words, and it was a little bit beyond what, you know, I'm into UFOs, and all my family thinks I'm crazy, but it was a little bit beyond me to believe that reading some words could heal. But I started reading these words, and I came home, and I read all of Dr. Wayne Dyer's books, and he has a book called Manifesting Your Destiny that teaches you to meditate to the sound of ah in the morning and om at night. And
okay, hold it there. What is your specific question, ma'am?
Well, what I wanted to ask him is, like, I started doing this meditation, and this medicine from Peru came into my life called ayahuasca, and I took 2 teaspoons, and I'm 90% healed.
Wow.
Now, what I want to know is, Art has been doing some research on his program with doing meditating at the same time.
Great mind experiments, yes.
Yeah, and I really feel that if Art doesn't want to do this, give me a radio program and I'll do it. I feel that if the government's not going to do anything about the weather.
Dear lady, if you get a radio program, you can do it.
Well, I know this is supposed to be done. I know this is a way that the people can help do all this, you know, have to save the planet. And
what do you need us to do?
And I want to know if Sean feels that this us meditating together would help bring this about.
Okay. In other words, she could have just said, will these kinds of experiments, these kind of mind experiments, alter the otherwise seemingly inevitable course, a disastrous immediate course of history?
Well, you are in a very unique position because you're speaking to people in a very, how can we say, in a trance state, if you will. Sort of a, you know, I mean, they're either in bed or in a very high, well, in a very suggestible state of consciousness on the one hand, but also in a state just before sleep. And that's a very, very powerful state to speak to people in. And also, if you will notice, I mean, you have a national show an international program that reaches out to people on these topics. I mean, when was the last time you saw, you know, you heard Rush Limbaugh asking people to focus their energy on anything other than, you know, whatever he's talking about? So it's
out here, way out on a limb. I know that. You still didn't answer the question. The question was very direct, and it was, can these kind of mind experiments that I've been so careful with,
right,
can they alter the course of what otherwise is inevitable?
In brief, the way time works is that when a prophecy or a series of events occurs, it's very much like a wave crashing on a beach. There's two ways to actually nullify the wave. Either you hit it with a wave of equal and opposite force.
Mm-hmm.
One person simply throwing themselves against the wave will just, you know, create a hole and then go around you and then still hit the shore.
Mm-hmm.
An idea of the way time actually functions, very briefly, is that if you have a mass of consciousness, and let's say you have somebody who makes a prediction, and a few people believe it and track it, and then the next time they make a prediction, it gets bigger, and the next time they make a prediction, it gets bigger. How many times have there been prophets throughout history, from Edgar Cayce to Gene Dixon on down, that have had a whole series of dead-on predictions that then get out to the mass consciousness, they then make a dire prediction, and that prediction is then subverted, if you will, enhanced or adjusted by the fact that enough people have actually listened to the prediction. And that's how you hit things with an equal and opposite wave of force, if you will.
So I think that's a yes.
Yes, it is. But if enough people listen and enough people take action, that yes, anything can be averted. And with the caveat that there are certain very specific lessons that we are here to learn, and that the Earth is a college or a school, and that we have to go through certain amounts of group experience and classes.
Well, Sean, there's also something called the law of unintended consequences. And when you are tampering with things as big as the timeline of man, you know, with regard to war and pestilence and disease and good times and bad times, and you begin tampering with all of that, you're then really, really, really tampering with Mother Nature. And I'm not saying, I said this early in the program, it's interesting, it should come back now, that under the most dire of circumstances, I'm sure I'd be driven to that. But short of those dire circumstances, which appear around the corner, I would not engage in such experiments because I don't know what would happen. Do you?
No.
No. A wild card line, you're on the air with Sean David Morton. Hello.
How are you doing, Art?
Well, I'm okay.
KQMS, Redding, California.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Sean.
Sir.
I was wondering if you might be interested in people like me. I'm doused 300 wells and hit 300 wet ones.
Okay.
Sounds a hell of a record.
Yeah. Absolutely. I tell you what, on my website, you can email me.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what, here's what we use dowsers for, is that if we actually have a coordinate where we separate something up, the dowsing usually comes in very, very handy. All we have to do is ask you a question, project you forward into a future point, not just to find water or oil or whatever.
Okay. Also, the thing is that if you hide a silver dime, or a silver quarter under a carpet, I can find it for you.
I'd love to test that. I'd love to.
Email me on your website. Just tell me, just remind me who you are, and I guarantee you that I answer all of my email, and we'll talk.
Okay, there you are.
There's a way that we might be able to do this to where we could find some very cool things. And there are also
a lot of scientists who would like to investigate you. If you can really do that, for example, find a quarter hidden under a carpet, a lot of people would like to... I don't know, toy with you. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Sean David Morton. Not a lot of time. Hello.
Oh, hi, Art.
Hi.
Yes. You mentioned something about gas hitting $3.50 a gallon in the summer.
Well,
yes.
$3. Oh, did you say $3?
I said $3, about $3 or $3.25, yeah.
Okay.
When do you expect that to start to jump past $2?
It's starting now. It's up to, you know, premiums up to, what, $1.90 almost now.
Depends on where you are, but yeah.
I think the focus of it will be where it will get the highest. Will be like Chicago, the Midwest. You know, Illinois, Ohio, that always seems to be the highest place. But
I'll tell you, with the military taking over Venezuela, you watch the per barrel price later today. Ha, 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 ha.
It should drop pretty substantially, yes.
No.
You don't think it'll drop? You don't think the military will just unleash it?
No, I don't think so. Yeah. I think with that kind of instability, you're going to get a rise right away.
Yeah, I mean, the oil companies will certainly take advantage of it, so it's not, it's one of those kind of duh predictions, but obviously...
But I've been wrong before.
Obviously, it's a real problem because of, you know, I mean, we need Saudi Arabia, and they're playing three sides against the middle, and we can't attack Saddam because they won't let us use our bases in Saudi Arabia to actually go after them.
I take it back. I don't know what the hell it's going to do in the morning. I've been wrong so many times in my predictions, either about the market, and you've been all right, that I'm sure as hell not going to try to predict oil. I take it back. Caller, anything else?
Yeah, what about, I think we overlooked the Mideast crisis that is going on right now.
I had a whole thing on it, and we got tacked into something else. The biggest thing that I predicted back on December 26th on this show was when I talked about the last good news to come out of the Middle East, you know, came from the wise men. And I specifically saw Yasser Arafat either dying or being replaced. And I think he's going
to
die.
You did say that, and he's close to one or the other. They had a tank pointed right at his house.
Yep.
Interesting moment. And I think if they, you know, if the world, if the U.S. and the Israelis decide he is of no further use, that he won't be around very much longer.
Well, that was a prediction of the coming crisis in the Middle East. I saw the removal of Arafat. It's very difficult because whether or not it's a political assassination and him being removed instead of PLO or a physical assassination is difficult to see. But he'll be taken out as a player, and I made that prediction on December 26th. Ariel Sharon is not going to back down. I don't see any solution to this conflict until maybe October. I mean, there's going to be no talks of any kind until October. Back in October of 2000.
Then the current mission by Powell is useless.
Yeah, it's a joke. The Israelis are not going to back down specifically. Back in October, on October 20th of 2000, I predicted that Netanyahu would actually become the Prime Minister of Israel. I said that the solution will be an Israeli apartheid state, total separation from the Palestinians.
Okay, brother.
Okay.
We're out of time.
Is that it? All right. Thank you, Art.
The 800 number for the newsletters, 888-452-7999. That's 888-452-7999. Sean, thank you.
Thank you, Art. Blessings to you and to everybody out there. I appreciate it.
And good luck with your upcoming marriage.
Thank you. Well, hopefully you can take a day off and come on down to Southern California.
Later, brother. That's it for now. From the high desert, I'm Art Bell. See you tomorrow night.